Welcome back, episode 34.
I have no idea. Ooh. Cook was last week, right?
Cook was at, yeah, so 34. Anybody got a 34 player? I'm Grapes.
I'm Gorak. And hey, we got a special guest. You'll remember him from the Drunken Bears episode.
Oh, this time he's not as drunk.
Travis Rennie's here to talk some draft.
He does have a little Busch latte in front of him, but I promise you it's the only one.
Well, right on. It's nice to get a little fresh voice in there.
Is Sendejo number 34?
Sendejo. There you go. Yeah, Sendejo was 34.
Well, that works out well because he just went to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Today.
Traitor. Today.
Today. Do you know details of the
deal? No, 1 year.
Just 1 year deal? Yeah.
Right. I feel like he had to get, like...
They had no safety.
Yeah, I feel like he should have got more than, like, minimum.
He probably will.
I think he's one of our better free agents we lost.
I mean, the Eagles still had, like, $28 million. So...
Did they really?
Yeah.
See, the Colts still have $77 million.
They haven't even signed anybody good, the Colts.
I think they're being smart about it. They're not overpaying. Before, off top, I was listening to your guys' podcast from last week.
Okay.
It was before all this came out. Anyone else feel like the 49ers have a couple geniuses over there? Do you see it? I get they signed law.
They
all can get all of them after 1 year with no hit.
Yeah.
Yep, I did see that.
It's like, that's really smart, but part of it's like, if you have to sign someone, that then you need to be like put a failsafe in. Maybe they're not that good.
Well, a lot of free agents are like,
free agents are like that.
So maybe they like realize that and they're like, all right, we really want this guy for this year just to see, like, let's
almost
compete.
Like approve it. Well, it's like if we can't teach Quan Alexander to tackle, we'll just cut him.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. He had 71 missed tackles since, I don't know, last 3 years, 4 years, however long he's been in the league. Like, that's not good.
Yeah, but only
he would never survive in Mike Zimmer's defense.
No, we're like the best tackling defense by far. You think that Mike is close enough for you guys?
It's close enough for me. I think Rennie may not have to.
I'm afraid he might have really bad breath.
Well, I mean, I can scoot over. And we can three-way this couch.
Oh. I open it up a little. It's up to. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. The reason I brought that up is because I am just astounded by the contracts that got signed. I mean, that's a smart idea because you go look at the Lions. They're paying freaking Trey Flowers $19 million a year. The guy's never had double-digit sacks. I get he's got, like, always, like, led for pressures. He doesn't get sacks. I mean,
well, Nick Easton got, like...
He's getting $6 million a year. $4 million a year, 24.
We talked about him as, like, let's get him back for cheap so he can compete for a starting job. They just handed him a starting job. No, I get they lost Max Unger and whatnot, but...
Easton didn't play center the last 2 years. He didn't play at all last year. And... Like, him and Billy Turner both got paid, and they were both guys who were like, all right, we'll bring him in to compete.
Yeah, like, that's the backup option.
And there they are getting north of $25 million each.
Like, I have no problem with us just passing in all these guys, but at some point we do need to get somebody.
True, but there's nobody we can get at $2, $3 million worth of cap space.
Yet, yeah. We're waiting for, like, it to really dry up.
Well, I think you guys hit it. First wave go by, maybe even let the second wave go by. Get through your. We might even wait till we get through the draft, see what we do there, and then
add some random that's like just still sitting there.
Yeah, but we don't even have enough money to sign our entire draft class yet.
Yeah, we do. We only have 7 million.
We have 3 million left after we sign our draft.
Yeah. Oh, that's after we sign.
I don't know because they said something with Barr after we restructured Griffin. They said that was to open up for Barr the rest of it. So maybe we don't have quite.
We have like 8 million right now, and it costs like $3 million for our cap. For our draft class.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, we did resign Amir Abdullah. I'm hoping.
It's probably a better
deal. Yeah, but does that include the comp picks we're going to be getting too?
It's like nothing because they don't make much more. So your cap is just the top 51 players.
Oh, okay.
So every time you draft someone, it knocks off someone that makes less than that guy. And those late picks, nothing's really changing. You're either dropping $400K and adding $500, like. That's why it's $5 million to sign your draft class, but it's only like $3 million against the cap.
So it doesn't include like practice guys who are probably going to
practice. Yeah, it's only your top 51 paid players. So it's like we have 56 players and you have 90-man rosters. Well, those next 40 guys or whatever, they don't count against your cap. Yeah. Unless they end up making more than the 51 first guy. He knocks the 51st guy off and they have a new guy. I'll be interested to see what Abdullah got because he kind of got signed early enough where did we give him more than the minimum? I hope it's not much more than minimum because I like him as a kick returner.
Yeah, but I don't really want to pay a kick returner that much because I don't know. I would think you could find one in the draft.
I would think so.
So even if it is undrafted guy like Sherrill's. So I mean I like seeing kick return touchdowns, but they're also kind of taking away the kickoff. So I don't know how much you really want to invest in the kick returner.
Yeah. If it's veteran minimum or like slightly above veteran minimum, I'm totally okay with it. I like it actually, because we talked about having a good kick returner, because before he got here, it was embarrassing. Stacey Coley's handing the ball to the ref. Oh. Or who's the but Cheryl.
Cheryl's
he's a good punt returner. He's a terrible kick returner.
How many times do we get stopped before the 20?
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there bitching about it the entire time. Even,
tons of times.
Even the year before when you had McKinnon trying to take it over.
Yeah, he was bad at it too. Was terrible. Which was surprising. Like, you thought he would be decent at it. He was terrible at it too. Like, we have, since we lost Patterson, it's just been a complete mess back there.
And like, Abdullah's nothing special, but at least he gets it back to the 25.
He's like slightly above average. Like, he's smart and he could maybe break one. He doesn't really have like that top end speed where he probably get caught, but like,
no, but it's all, I feel like we're not looking for the touchdown. It's how good a field position we can get.
It's not getting caught inside the 15 yard line, which is what we were doing. Plus, he also, you know, Rock Thomas is probably not back on the team because he got caught with, like, I don't know how much marijuana, like
it's like 128 grams, which actually isn't that much. It's like
a felony, though.
It was like a little over a quarter pound or something like that. Not that much.
Ryan's like, well, that's nothing. What are you talking about?
That's like a 2 days.
I got more than that.
That's
in my car.
2 days.
No, come on, guys. Come on. It's not that bad.
So if he's gone, and then so you got obviously boom. Murray left. I kind of feel like they could make if Abdullah. He was a second round pick. Could he be like a poor man's Jerick McKinnon? Just catch passes, take a couple runs.
Well, he did play in the offense a little bit. Didn't we always see him kind of spell towards the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, he had a few. He didn't really do much.
No, I mean, he didn't, like, make plays or anything, but it was always like, oh, look at that. Abdullah's back there.
I wouldn't mind him back there. I mean, I don't want him to be our, you know, full-time back and not, but he's got starting experience. Not that he did much with it, but
he was always hurt, and that's why he never really kept his job
and
in
he
Detroit.
Was on Detroit. Detroit does not know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's true.
They did, look at Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron.
And how long did they keep Joik Bell and Theo Riddick in
play? Dude, last year they kept LeGarrette Blount on the team, and he was like 2 yards a carry, complete trash.
And Kerryon Johnson still held like, while he
Kerryon's
was healthy.
Averaging like 4.5 yards a carry, and they're like, we got to get Blount 3-4 carries this drive.
Blount might get us a touchdown at the end of this. Let's see how he does.
So, like, when we looked at all the free agents to, like, start the offseason, I was totally like, yeah, let's re-sign Abdullah as a kick returner. Like, that's totally fine. I just hope we don't all of a sudden get the details and it's like, he's taking up, like, $2.5 million of our cap. Like, we don't really have space for that. We don't have a kicker yet. That's the big, like, I keep wondering, like, are we just going to draft a kicker in the 7th round?
Why do you need a kicker?
Oh, shit.
Does it really matter at this
just
point?
Just go for it on every 4th down.
Does it really matter? We got Bailey Orser. That's even one of the most accurate kickers of all time.
Okay, but Dan Bailey, I forget what his injury was.
Groin, which is not great for a kicker.
Exactly. Like, I wasn't expecting...
He's not the same Dan Bailey as what he was.
Exactly. I feel like we should just get rid
of the kicker position.
Of the kicker.
Yes.
And just go for it on 4th down.
See?
I feel like...
Is that why you brought him?
You're outnumbered here.
This is
your idea.
Obviously, I'm joking here, but I just feel like we have just as good of a chance. Every time we get a kicker on the field, I feel like, it's a 50-50 shot. He's going to probably miss this.
You know what? I just want to find a guy who's good at punting and kicking.
Just one guy? How has that not happened?
Just one guy. Exactly. How is, like, specializing at kicking... I mean... I know, like, being a punter, you know, different spins and whatnot, but just kick the ball far. Or kick the ball not very far.
I don't think we realize how, like, hard it actually is to do. Like, when you sit here and you're doing it, it's probably a really hard position to actually play.
Well, and, like, if you're like, I'll just do both, that means you're spending half the time learning the technique of both.
Work twice
as hard. There's, like, what, 100 other, like, kickers that are, like, either street free agents or, like, trying to get in the league that are working just on one thing. Yeah. So you're kind of fucked.
So you talk to some people, why can't we just move over to guard? Like, you realize left tackle and guard are, like, completely different.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that. We're not going.
Ryan's right definitely there. Against moving guys to guard. I'm more for it. So, so we lost. So today a bunch of shit happened. We re-signed Abdullah.
Yep.
Which checks a box. On our little
yes, it does our checklist.
Off-season checklist. We're down to four things. We need a 3-tech.
Yep.
Because we're definitely not getting Sheldon Richardson back.
Oh no.
Unless he fails his physical or something.
Still can't afford him.
Two offensive linemen. Yeah, still can't afford him. And then there was two other things.
I just
receiver and a tight end.
Yep.
Kicker. And those are just like depth.
Kicker. Then you had a kicker.
Well, we didn't have that on our list because we assume you're going to have a kicker regardless.
Yeah.
And you could, we could literally pick a dude up off the street. We could pick up Kai Forbath, and it's whatever. Check the box.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind bringing back Forbath.
That dude hit a 50-some yarder in the playoffs.
I feel like he might not want it. He might be a little salty about getting cut for a rookie.
Yeah, but Briefer's out here, so I think he'll be like, yeah.
Not to mention he's been cut plenty of times. He's used to it. He finished the season with someone, didn't he?
Yeah, didn't he go back to, like, Washington or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know where it was. I think he played a few games with someone at the end of the season, but I'm just excited to see Dan Carlson be, like, a 15-year vet that's just drilling field goals.
What a terrible job to have. I feel like every day your job's on the line. Just what a terrible feeling.
Unless you're, like, Gostkowski or someone. It's, like, three missed kicks in a row. It's, like, you're gone.
Any other kicker would have lost his job after that Super Bowl last year. Where didn't Gostkowski miss the extra point and, like, a 37
against the Patriots?
Against the Eagles.
The Rams.
Oh, yeah, he's on the Patriots.
No. 2 years ago.
Two years ago. He missed an extra point and he missed a field goal. Yeah,
I think he missed one in the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, that's what. No,
that's the game he's talking about.
That's all the Rams this year.
Oh, I think he did miss one.
I'm pretty sure he missed one.
I think you're right.
He's not good. We don't want him, right?
No, not good.
I said we go get Cody Parkey.
Oh, please, no. That's such a, like, I feel like that would be such a Viking move. Let's lean into, like, our kicking woes and pick up, like, the most tainted kicker.
That's like picking up Blair Walsh to me.
I'd rather pick up Blair Walsh.
Blair Walsh never hit the upright four times in one game, though. You gotta give him that.
Missed a 27-yarder in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, that's good accuracy right there. Like, those poles are pretty small. They're pretty small.
Other things happened today. So, Sendejo to the Eagles, we touched on. I think he's our best free agent we're going to lose. Well, besides Sheldon Richardson, but we didn't need him. Like, Anthony Harris is best.
Oh, Latavius Murray I'd put up there too.
Murray's not bad. But we also, I don't think, we couldn't afford him. And I think we were kind of like, he's going to leave. We get it. Like, everyone made sense that's going to leave. Richardson was the only one in Barr, but we got Barr back. And then Tom Compton's gone on the Jets.
Both times.
So someone tweeted, you know, Compton signs with Jets. And like, all these Jets fans are like, either they're just going, who? Like, who the fuck is this guy? Or they're like, good signing, solid player. And then Viking fans are just jumping in like, he's fucking trash. If he's a starter on your team, you're screwed.
Those Jets fans, I'm right there with them. I was there last year. Kirk Cousins' little buddy. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, he can slide in there, start. He's a good guy.
When we brought him in, I was like, oh, he's just like the last man on the roster. It was like a Cousins was kind of like, you need to sign my buddy if you're going to get me. Like, I felt real. And all of a sudden he was starting. It was like, oh, shit. But that was because Easton got hurt.
No, I thought when we signed Compton, he'd be like the seventh lineman.
Yeah.
Then
you talk yourself into it.
And I talk myself into it.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
How bad does Isadora have to be that he still couldn't get a starting job at some point last year?
I think he's not good. And I also think he doesn't really fit our scheme anymore. He seems kind of big.
I was just going to say that. He seems like a round human being.
Yeah, very round. But Nick Easton was a big square, and he could move.
And I feel like you could have plugged any offensive lineman in there and done better than those two. It just...
Especially Remmers. I actually think Compton was better than Remmers. And that, again, that's not really Remmers' fault because he should have been a tackle. Yeah. Like, who knows what would have happened. But, like,
but yes,
he
I
was
think
fucking
Compton,
terrible.
Like, Remmers definitely helped Tom Compton not get screamed at.
Yeah, like, we had to divide the hate between two of them. What's funny is when we signed Remmers and we lost Khalil in the same offseason, is that same similar thing was happening where, like, Viking fans are like, oh, yeah, Mike Remmers, nice. And all these Panther fans were like, good fucking luck. He is garbage. Go watch Von Miller destroy him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was just
and then
say
they it. Were going, Matt Khalil, former top five. This guy's solid. And all Viking fans are like, good riddance. You can have him. Dude's already caught. I think he's like, what's the dead space they just got hit with? Like, was 16 or something?
They just signed him last year, right?
2 years ago. So, Remmers played with us 2 years. Khalil played with them 2 years. They're both cut. And we only had like a couple million dead money. They had like $16 million
dead
money.
Yeah, it was bad because they signed him to like a $60 million deal.
Yeah, it was a monster deal.
It was 3 years, but I think he was making like $13 million.
It was like a 5-year deal.
They gave him a 5-year
deal. Everyone got like Reeve, him, Okung.
Was Gettleman?
Osemele.
Probably was Gettleman.
I think Gettleman was still there at that point. He just took over the Giants last year, right?
Gettleman's the worst GM ever.
What an embarrassment.
Yeah, that's bad. That is bad. Well, Matt Khalil's available.
Oh,
okay. Well, there's that.
We lost one other guy today. Who was the other one? Or is that it?
No,
it was Sendejo.
Tom Compton.
Nick Easton.
Oh, Nick Easton's the other one that we haven't talked about since the last podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't get over that.
I get why he left. That was some good money.
Oh, yeah.
I guess when Max Unger retires, they only have an extra $8 million of cap space. It's like, oh, I guess let's pay the best center on the market.
Which they're probably pretty upset about because they could have went and got...
Paredes or Mitch Morris. Yeah. Or...
And Paredes is probably kicking himself going, I signed a 3-year deal with fucking Carolina when I could have got paid the exact same and played for New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. Would they have really won out there? Because have you seen their cap situation next year? Drew Brees is owed $40 million
next year. If he plays next year.
Yeah, that's the problem with these fucking teams. How like, would he just not? Keep moving the problems further away. Like, it just seems like bullshit. Like, what they'll do is just restructure his contract again next year and push it. So it's like all the bad stuff is always a year later. And then one day he'll just retire and it won't matter. And
all goes away. I never retire. Like, you guys owe me. I'm just going to stay.
I think they've talked this through. That would be fucking hilarious if they did that. He's just a corpse. And they're like, hey, you're going to retire, right? And he's like, nah, I'll be here collecting my $49 million you owe me. Remember all the times I helped out the team with my cap, pushing the cap forward? You know what I think is not talked about enough is how Tom Brady just takes less money.
Oh, yeah, true.
Oh, the Patriots are geniuses. Yeah, well, this asshole, his wife's a billionaire or whatever, so he just takes 20.
And he makes more on, like, his Uggs deal than he does.
It just seems like everyone talks about how they build this great roster and stuff. It's like, well, I mean, part of it's because you have the best player in the league who's making... It's the same thing when Steph Curry made dick forever. It's like, well, no wonder they can pay all these guys. Here we are with Andrew Wiggins.
Taking up all the space.
Yeah, it's just bad timing. I mean, they got lucky because Curry was like hurt and then they re-signed him. Brady's just getting paid under the table like Joe Smith or something.
But
yeah.
Curry also signed before like Supermax contracts.
Yeah, all that too. Stuff. Yeah, so they just kind of
got lucky with that.
Yeah, but Brady's still making like $17 million. And everyone, like, he's the 19th highest paid quarterback in the league or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Like that.
I mean, pretty sure Nick Foles is a bigger cap hit than him.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And he signs an extension, and it's like none of the money's like ever thrown out there. It's like, oh, Tom Brady signs 2-year extension. It's like, yeah. What's it worth? Comes out, it's like $8 million. It's like, oh.
Yeah, and no, like, everyone talks about this, I mean, because they have the best coach, they have the best team. It's obviously, it's more than that, but, like, they also have this nice advantage that their best player is just, oh, yeah, I'll just take less money.
You know, he's like, what?
Kirk
what,
Cousins
what
is out there fucking demanding guaranteed contracts and shit.
What is this year's beating going to mean to me if I win a ring? Only, like, $10 million if I get that ring. Let's do it.
it's upsetting.
But, yeah, and then, like you say, Kirk Cousins out there demanding $28 million.
You know what's funny? Kirk Cousins did all that, and now no one else is copying him. Like, he was like, this is going to change things for all the players, and, like, we're all going to... It's going to... Like, him and his agent thought it was going to be some big thing. No one got it.
Yeah, nobody's going...
What was stupid is they're all proud of this guaranteed contract. All you did was take off the last two seasons that are unguaranteed. Like, if it was a 5-year deal all guaranteed, that's impressive. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah,
but you just shorten it to where the guaranteed money always ends anyway. So what did you really do, Kirk?
Yes, well, like, yeah, people are getting 5-year, you know, $80 million deals, but $54 million guaranteed. Okay, they're only getting, it's basically a 3-year, $55 million deal.
Yeah, which is what he signed, a 3-year, 84. So it's like...
Instead of calling it a 5-year, $125 million.
Where the guarantee is really just 3 for 84, you didn't really do anything that spectacular.
Yeah, what you said.
All you did is made it next years. Year. We're already going to be looking for a fucking quarterback, which bothers me. So I was actually kind of annoyed it was 3 years. Like, so true. Everyone's all like, we finally got our guy.
It's like, yeah,
for 3 years.
It's up next year. It's up next year. Like, yeah. Last year went by quick and we didn't do dick with him.
Yeah.
So now he's got 2 years left. Now this year, we better at least make the AFC title game. Or
if we make the AFC
pissed.
Title game, that's impressive.
That's
because not only would he carry the team to a title game, but move us conferences, and that's impressive. If Kirk can do that, that's big.
Or NFC title game. My bad.
Oh man,
would be bigger than getting a guaranteed contract.
I was like, wow, Darren is very impressed. Like, not impressed with Kirk Cousins. They're like moving them conferences. I was like, NFC title game.
Well, the Homer PA. What was he saying about the 3
years? Homer PA. Rennie with a shot at PA.
Oh, I mean, a low blow.
Sometimes
you got it. You're sitting there like, I don't know. This 3 year gives us.
He's
time
a
to...
local legend. How
he works for the team. You know, it's funny because him and Wobby. It's like no matter what, they're like they'll spin it positively. Well, we didn't get a DT. Jalen Holmes and Julio. They're like pretty much the best players in the league if you really look at it closely. Like. Zimmer's got this, which I don't mind. I'd rather that than, like, the cynical... I feel like 1500 is a little more, like, negative, where they're kind of just, like, always bitching. So, I don't know.
Like
PA.
Cole.
Yeah, well, Tannehill was on Keon Cave fan, but yeah, who's the Detroit fan? Is that Common Man?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's the worst. I can't stand him. We're just going to take shots at Cave fan this entire series.
See, but the Kirk Cousins, the only thing I didn't like about him was the guarantee, because it gave us no outs if he sucks.
But the problem is, you were never going to get him without that.
So no, and like, I get that. I'm not angry about it. It was just the one thing I didn't like.
He was going to get anywhere between $84 and $90 million guaranteed, whether it was a 3-year contract or a 5-year contract.
Yeah, our out would have been after 3 years if he sucked, he could cut him. So our out is just his contract runs out.
Well,
so I came across some guy on Twitter saying, I can't believe he signed him. Highest guarantee in the NFL. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, go look. Matt Ryan's like over 100 million guaranteed.
Well, a bunch of people passed him like right away. You know what? And also, I think the guarantee part actually worked against him. Now the fans bring up, he got a guaranteed contract. He got the first guaranteed this. He's guaranteed all this money. And now they kind of like use it against him when he fails. When it's like, if you would have just taken a normal contract, maybe it wouldn't be like talked about as much, because you immediately got passed by Matt Ryan. Aaron Rodgers passed you. Fucking.
Yeah, nobody's going to call
Stafford's
you
Stafford's passed him.
Stafford. So like, yeah, he's you're like not the highest paid anymore. He's the sixth highest. Yeah, so but he got the guaranteed contract. It's all guaranteed. So like, I don't know. I think it was actually kind of dumb of him. The dude has played it really well because he's got like a shit ton of money, like 2 franchise tags worth, 3 guaranteed years. He's going to hit the market again at like
with $136 million.
Okay, so what is he, 29?
30?
How old is he? 30, 31 right now?
Yeah, 30, I think.
So when his contract runs out, he's going to get another monster deal. Even if he's still, like, he threw 30 touchdowns, 10 picks. Like, he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's a good fantasy football quarterback. Let's see if he can play real football.
And wasn't his accuracy good? Wasn't he like 66?
I think it was a career best.
I think it was damn near 70%.
I think it was almost 70, yeah.
Except for one guy posted a video when they were talking about it. Literally showed him just like turning to his left and he's about to get hit and just throws it behind him to Cook. It was like a 6-yard loss.
The Seattle game.
Was it Seattle game?
That was Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like a 6-yard. It was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. I'm like,
you don't remember watching that play live?
It was brutal.
Oh, it was disgusting. I think it was like third or fourth quarter, so I don't blame you for that.
That was Monday night, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you probably
that was the DeFilippo special.
No, I know. Yep.
Zimmer was like on his ass to do better, and we scored like 0 points, and then we're like,
I know I didn't turn it off.
I think we wake up tomorrow, he might be fired. Yep. And we woke up the next day about 10 a.m. He was fired.
You're talking to the guy when I was still in school, stayed up for the entire Niners Vikings game on Monday night when we played at like 9 o'clock.
Oh, I stayed up for that whole thing. You were there.
Which game is this?
The Niners Vikings 2 years ago game.
When we played the late Monday night game. I had to be up.
I was at the game.
Yeah,
that game sucked.
I had to be up at like 6:30 in the morning. I stayed up for the whole thing.
I remember, so I'm there with my girlfriend's family, and they're like, they're kind of 49er fans, not really football fans, you know. But so we get our ass kicked, and I'm trying to explain to them, like, no, the 49ers suck, and we're actually going to be good. Like, this is just a weird game. I don't know what happened, and they're just like, kind of like trying to be nice, but like sort of patronizing, like no, it's okay. Like, you know, maybe Teddy Bridgewater will get better, and it's like, no. We're good. Like, we're going to be good. And that's the year we went 11-5, went to the playoffs and lost. And then the fucking Niners were a complete joke. So I don't know why.
Who was the quarterback then? Was it Gabbert?
I don't think so.
Kaepernick was gone.
I think it might have still been Kaepernick.
Oh, that was your year.
I think it
might have
been his last year.
I think it was his last year.
Yeah, I just was like, dude, goddamn.
Yeah, no, that would have sucked.
It's rough. Like, going to a game and getting your ass kicked is rough. Like
the Patriots game. They're all shaking our hands at the end.
Well... And we didn't even get our ass kicked, so that was like okay. At least we were like kind of in it.
Thanks for showing up. Thanks for coming out, guys.
I feel like they were generally trying to be like nice.
They definitely were.
Like, there's patronizing, like, thanks for driving on out here. But they just seemed like they wanted to, like, I don't know, try to, like, raise the reputation of their crowd. Because, like, I don't know, maybe it's, like, the East thing. Everyone kind of thinks they're all assholes. But, they were like, assholes. And they also, like, win all the time. So it is probably like, oh, look at the cute Viking fan came out to play.
Or they're just... Not that bad of people. I mean, everything they gave us for shit was in fun. Yeah, it wasn't like nobody was just being an asshole, like an Eagles fan throwing freaking beer cans walking to the stadium at freaking 7-year-olds.
Pittsburgh was bad. Pittsburgh. I mean, they were like totally assholes, but like I just hate getting my ass kicked on the road.
The game. Yeah, we pretty much got handled that game. Again, still not a complete ass kicking. The 49er game. Complete ass kicking. I went to a Green Bay game in Green Bay.
Oh, that was...
It was raining and Christian Ponder was playing because Teddy was hurt. And we lost like 50-7. That was a disaster.
Wasn't that a Thursday night?
Thursday night, yep.
Was that the same year we went to... Was that last year or 2 years ago?
No, it was the same... I think that was the same
Teddy's
year.
Rookie, second season, I think.
That was the same year as the Niners game, wasn't it? The year he went 11-5.
No, he got hurt Teddy, that year. Did Teddy miss games?
That we were I thought he got five? Hurt. I think he got okay. hurt that game.
Well, his first year we had Matt Capps as a starter.
Yep.
Then the second year, yeah, it must have been his second year. Because his third year, he got hurt.
Yep.
Well, second year, oh, he did get hurt his second year. He got just drilled by that Rams player.
Oh, we were at that game too. Oh, when yeah. that guy fucking cheap shot him. LaMarcus Joyner.
Yep.
That was Joyner.
Yeah, cheap shot at him. And Zimmer was, I was watching him mic'd up. I don't know why, like last week of that mic game, and Zimmer's mic'd up. He gets hit. Zimmer runs on the field. Fuck you! Fuck me! It's like, what?
His quarterback's dumb.
Yeah. And then after the game, they're like talking to Jeff Fisher, and Jeff Fisher's like, I think once they see the replay, they'll know, you know, it was all good. And Zimmer's like, they're lucky, like, we assisted in the streets, I'd fucking fight him or something like that. Like, what is it? Like, Jeff Fisher, what are you talking about? It was a blatant cheap shot. Like, I'm pretty sure if you rewatch the tape, it's only going to make us more angry.
See, I remember we were at that game. I saw Teddy, like, start to slide, and I went to, like, talk to Tim or whatnot, and I turned over, and everyone's huddling around Teddy. I'm like, wait, what happened? He's like, you didn't see him get hit? I go, no, I saw him start to slide.
Sean Hill came in.
Yeah, oh, we won that game.
So was Ponder hurt that game? Because why
was Ponder gone?
Your game must have been his rookie year then.
I think it was. I think they benched Castle, and then Teddy got hurt, and then Ponder came in.
Probably like, you know,
and it was fucking like
probably strained his quad.
Castle got hurt. That's why Teddy came in, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Saints game. Saints. We were your birthday.
My birthday.
Teddy B. Anyways.
Yeah. Talk about
down memory lane of random Viking things. So oh, Kirk Cousins is going to lead to the AFC Championship game. Mark it down.
All right, I'll write it down.
Write that down.
I wonder how much they'll give you for odds if you freaking put that bet down when we go to Vegas. You should just walk up to the guy.
Keep
how
arguing.
Much can I put down, yeah. and what will you give me if the Vikings make the AFC title game?
Well, I don't want to take that bet, no matter how good the odds are.
You'd be flushing money.
Yeah, I'd literally be giving Vegas money. Yeah.
We're going to be doing that anyways, so.
Yes,
that'll be good. But, yeah.
So, yeah.
Any other free agents?
Since we talked, not much. I mean, Le'Veon Bell signed.
With the Jets. That, there wasn't, like, a lot of hoopla about that.
Yeah, it was right around when, I think, the Odell thing happened. It was, like, a little bit later.
Well, the hoopla was about everyone making fun of him because he's taking less money than what Pittsburgh offered him.
Yeah, and he sat out on a entire season.
Yeah, could you? Oh,
missed out $14 million. Dollars.
Don't you feel dumb?
Yeah, otherwise, did anyone else important sign? I mean, the linemen are getting picked up left and right. They're pretty much
I just gone. Listened to that podcast.
They are like, gone.
There's, it's left, Josh Klein, Wisniewski.
Quentin Spann.
Yeah, TJ Lang, Josh Sitton.
I wouldn't mind Wisniewski.
Lang's contemplating retirement, just read.
I saw that, yeah. Nope. Well, I mean, he had concussion problems last year, missed half the season.
I don't pay attention to Detroit because they're not even on my radar in our division, so... They don't bug me. I'm not scared of them. They're...
Oh, they've always just been the sad sack of the division.
Yeah, my whole thing is
the greatest running back of all time quit before he was 30. Because
one of the greatest wide receivers quit too.
I'm just saying. And then they're stuck with Stafford.
Oh, and Matt Patricia.
Oof.
Well, I feel like anytime Belichick lets a coach go, he's like saying, yeah, go.
There's a reason he keeps taking McDaniels back. Mm-hmm. It's because McDaniels is actually probably a good coach.
Well, and Belichick's more of a defensive guy, so he needs that offensive core. Well, it's actually kind of, again, bullshit. They got lucky because McDaniels was such an awful head coach and then reneged on the Colts that what happens when you have a defensive coach who hires the offensive guy is they immediately get poached. But the defensive guys rarely do. Vic Fangio was the only one who got poached.
And but Fangio has been with the Bears for 5 years.
Yeah, and it took how many years for Zimmer to get a job? Because everyone wants the hot offensive coordinator. Nobody wants the defensive guy. But it actually works out well because if you get the offensive guy, you sit on that defensive guy for like 6 years.
Well, and somebody was saying it like they're saying, you know, everyone wants the next Shanahan. Everyone wants the next McVay. But when the Rams hired McVay, he wasn't a hot commodity. No. He wasn't getting head coach interviews.
He must have killed his interview. Huh?
I never heard of him.
That's the thing. Like they took a chance on him. They just kind of like followed his line and like talked to the people who worked for him.
It's kind of like the Browns trying to hire Stefanski. It's like, okay, yeah, he's got a little buzz, but like anyone outside of Minnesota is probably like, Who the fuck is Kevin Stefanski? He was the OC for three games end of season. Like,
and that's, I think Dorsey kind of, the reason why he made it as a finalist is he's like, all right, you know, he's been with the Vikings through how many head coaches?
Yeah.
What makes him so special?
Uh-huh. Let's interview him. He must have done good in his interview. You know, I was rewatching some, again, mic'd up stuff of the Super Bowl. Sean McVay is kind of a, I don't know, I don't.
He's a D-bag.
A little, like, and he's kind of just a little kiss ass. Like, he's with Belichick just slurping him, like. He's like, you just do it the right way, buddy. You're so smart. You guys coach so good, and I can't wait to get on the field with you. And that, this is just, it's just great to be out here with you. And it's like, this is just.
I bet that's his personality. I bet he's just I so think it is. Up.
And it's like, he's so like positive. Like, they just completely, Jared Goff fucking airmailed that ball on the zero blitz where they, Gilmore picks it off. And he's like, it's all right. Good throw. It's okay. I feel like at a point, the players are like, you know what? This guy's just full of shit. Like.
It's one of those Pete Carroll things.
Yeah, where like maybe it runs out and then like either you do a Pete Carroll dude and it's like basically you flush your whole roster and start again. It works out well for him because he's got the same type of quarterback. Like Russell Wilson's also a little bit of a...
positive, like...
like it just like almost, where it feels a little fake. Yeah. Like, well, I never get upset. I'm just happy all the time and like, look at that and you know.
You have to remember, Goff also came from Jeff Fisher's first year. So when you run into a coach that... takes the team that had the worst scoring in offense to the number one. It's like, I'm going to listen to what this guy says.
Well, yeah.
But, McVay's a great coach.
But that's just like what happened in the Seahawks, though. Yeah. Like, you know, he turned that team around, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, well, let's listen to this man.
They all loved him. Then it kind of wore thin. And then he had to be like, all right, I got to get rid of all these guys because they all think I'm a fucking idiot now, and I'm bringing new guys. Or the thing with, like with John Harbaugh, it's the other way. He's like such a psychopath. There's Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
And, like, San Francisco just eventually was like, okay, the players, you're just too grading, you know? I think Zimmer's such a good coach. Like, Anthony Barr came back here for less money, and a huge reason why is Zimmer. 100%.
I think Zimmer, like, he, you know, he's a hard ass, but I don't know. I see him as, like, where, you know, people are trying to be the dad. I feel like Zimmer's, like, the grandpa. Or you know, he's a hard ass, but he,
Zimmer's just trying to be the coach.
Yeah,
and he doesn't sugarcoat anything, and he just says it like it is. Like I just—that's
gonna be McVay's downfall. He wants to be friends, buddies. He doesn't. That's what I feel.
It's the same thing with Pete Carroll. But you know, Pete Carroll's a great coach. Sean McVay's a great coach. So as long as you can like keep it going, I think you're all right. But
no, people want to play for Zimmer. That's like
it's like proven. How many people have came back here now?
Tom Johnson, Shamar Stephen.
They all want to, and they all talk about. You know, I enjoyed my time in Seattle, but, like, I missed it so much. I missed the locker room.
I still feel like a local could have won anywhere last year and started.
Yeah, yeah. Said he was, like, a fourth stringer because even when...
And he took the league minimum.
Yeah, Teddy talking on Twitter to, like, Rudolph and, like... Yeah. He's like, what do you say to Diggs? Like, gotta put... we're about to put that cake in the oven or something like that.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, they were, like... They all were, like, on the brink.
That's, like, some people talk about, oh, we gotta fire Zimmer if we don't do good or we gotta get rid of Spielman. I think we... have one of the best coaching and front offices in the entire league. I know we haven't like had the best results, even though a championship game appearance, another playoff game with Teddy, like it's pretty solid. But I just remember the years of Frazier and the years of Childress and like the kind of the dysfunction.
Give me five coaches that you'd rather have than Zimmer.
Sean Payton, Bill Belichick. Help me out here, Rennie.
We're Payton, Belichick. I don't know. It's really not. I'm going through.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Maybe Tomlin, but I don't know.
No, Tomlin's lost me now. Yep. I mean, he let that fall apart. I mean, Sean McVay's definitely up there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't guarantee taking him over.
Andy Reid would be up
close,
there.
Close.
Yeah.
Close, but the way he doesn't
play. The way he chokes in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
I think coaching matters so much. The problem is
there's been so much turnover that
there's only like
you can make an argument.
16 coaches.
You can make an argument for like Shanahan. I mean, I would immediately take. Yeah, you can make an argument. You can make an argument.
Doug Peterson.
You can make an argument.
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich did.
Did a great job.
But it's too early.
It's early. Yeah, it's too early.
And with Peterson, I don't know. After seeing, I don't know, like how many injuries they got and everything last year, but they just seemed so bad last year after making the Super Bowl. Was it a fluke? I don't know.
I mean, their coaching staff got gutted from other teams.
Well, they lost their OC and quarterback's coach.
Yeah. We just lost Shermer.
Well, and they just lost their quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, Jason Garrett? I don't know. I'm fucking around. No. Dude's the worst coach in the whole league.
Well, there's still rumors floating around there. I keep seeing them that Dallas is going after Peyton.
Yeah, that, well, that's what they said about Shanahan. That Teddy was like... Yeah.
Those rumors have always been there.
Because he was, a Parcells guy.
But yeah, that's been there the last like 12 years.
But the new rumor is that's why Teddy wants to go back there is there's talks he's going to bring him to Dallas and not keep Prescott.
Oh, I didn't see that rumor. I saw the rumor that he was considering...
That, you know, that's just freaking pulling at hairs there, but I like it.
What I saw was that he was considering Miami because he was worried Sean Payton was going to just leave New Orleans at some point, and then it's like... The reason I want to stay in New Orleans is because I really like what they got going on there. And if Sean Payton leaves and Breeze leaves, I mean, Breeze has to leave for him to start. But, like, that's not – it wouldn't be the same as as
it is. I think if Breeze keeps playing, you're going to see a LeBrady type thing. He's gets why quit when you're doing good?
He is. Every year he's feeling good. Are these old fuckers ever going to get bad? Like Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Roethlisberger?
Look at Manny. I get he had the neck.
He just took steroids.
He went to Germany with Kobe. He didn't
get caught. It's not against the rules.
His wife got caught. Quote unquote, his wife.
You don't put it in your name. Yeah, that's where Rock Thomas went wrong. You know, you gotta have someone else carry that for you.
You gotta have somebody else's name under that.
Just say Tyreek Hill. If you want to break a kid's arm, hire someone to do it. You got the money.
Jeez.
Put a hit out on your kid. You need to pay
too much
them.
For Grayson.
Breaking your kid's arm's any better?
That's another one. It's a legend.
That's another one of those. Oh, John Dorsey, such a great drafter. Yeah, you took a guy who pushed a pregnant woman down the stairs, and 3 years later, he's already in trouble again. Like, people do not give these people enough time to screw up. It's always like within 1 year. It's like, great pick, Tyreek Hill, turn his life around. No. Just give it a little time. Reuben Foster, they're bragging about picking him. Immediately fucks up.
Twice.
Kareem Hunt, fuck up. Like, I don't know if he had any actual baggage.
Joe Mixon, we're waiting on you.
Yeah, well, like, maybe that's the thing.
Actually, he was 19, so he didn't fuck up his last 2 years of college, and now it's been 2 years.
I won't be surprised if we see something. Like, right. I just, it's always just funny to me when, like,
Randy Moss.
You know when it happens, usually? Yeah. It's when the guy becomes really good and he starts getting the attention. He starts going out more, becoming a little more comfortable. Yeah. Look at this. Did you hear anything about Kareem Hunt? All of a sudden, he blows up in the league, and now he's kicking women.
Not good.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill kept it clean for how long?
A year and a half.
But now he's one of the best wide receivers in football?
He was one of the best right the minute he stepped on the field.
Because he's like cheetah speed.
Really fast.
Okay, anyway, should we jump into some draft talk?
Yeah.
It's why we got the, you know, we got the draft expert, Travis Rennie, here.
Yeah.
Are we want to... just talk about some of our favorite prospects.
Yeah, some later round guys.
Yeah, we did our top 20 board. So it was kind of most the first round guys.
Those are already shaken up. Like Devin White gets pushed down now.
Yeah, I was actually redoing mine, and the back like three or four, not a big fan of them because it's like you either start, in my opinion, like reaching for linemen, or you start taking like DNs, and I'm not really big on taking a DN in the first round.
Yeah,
but. You have to assume there's going to be quarterbacks taken. There's going to be corners. There's going to be linebackers. So, like someone, I think in my top 10.
Yeah, will top be there. 10 and
definitely top 15. I think someone's going to be there. So, I mean, every time I do a thing on the Draft Network, Christian Wilkins is available. So I always pick him.
Same here.
It's fucking annoying. I wish someone would take him.
Him or Cody Ford.
Yeah.
Well, I always grab Bradberry. He's my guy.
I like Bradberry.
What? Want a high five?
You want a high five for that? If Christian Wilkins is on the board, you're taking Bradberry.
Hey, man. I mean, because I don't think Christian Wilkins is going to be there in real life.
Oh, so, okay. Well, that's just dumb to say. There's a lot of three techs, you know. A lot of people, you know, could fall.
I think Christian Wilkins is better than the majority of the three techs.
So, if he was there, you would take him?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That's why he's rated number 5 on my big board.
Him or Jonah Williams?
I'm taking Jonah Williams. Sorry, too. Man.
That's just too big of a need on offense.
Yeah, and he, Jonah Williams on my big board was number 4.
Can he play guard?
Right ahead. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right ahead.
Well, he could play guard for a year and then kick him out once.
He's got alligator arms. So, like, you know, if his arms were an eighth of an inch longer, he might be a better left tackle. You know, those kinds of things.
Well, I keep reading about that McCoy. I'm really starting to like that Eric McCoy.
I really like him in a trade down or if he fell to the second round. I think in the first round.
He's climbing up a lot of boards.
I like McCoy at 51. I like him as high as like.
This is Eric McCoy. What is he from? Texas?
Texas A&M.
Center.
Yep.
Probably could play guard too. Zone. Good scheme fit. Yep.
I like him anywhere between probably like 38 and 51.
The you know, and we say
so that's
that
trading up or trading back.
I really
That
I think he's not going to last to the second round pick.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he's a little early to take an 18. But then, like, last year, people were taking Billy Price and
Frank Ragnow.
Well, like, everyone got mad that we took. He was just like, well, who else were we supposed to take? At that point, all the guards that were first, even some of the second round talents were gone.
It was like James Daniel went right after us, Austin Corbett. Like, we could have took those guys. But again, it feels like a reach where I feel like Eric McCoy at 18 overall, there's going to be a really talented player there that you're passing up to take.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
There's absolutely no way we take Eric McCoy at 18. Take Eric McCoy at 18, God, what do I say? I will tie myself. Give me a landmark to tie myself to. I will tie myself.
Tree?
No, I need a landmark. You know, somewhere we can do a little protest
here. A tree by the stadium?
A tree by the stadium.
Tie it to that weird boat design thing right out front of the stadium.
Yes. Let's see how long it lasts.
And I'm not against moving up into the second because we don't need a lot of that late round capital.
I'm not against moving up if it's obviously a player we fell in love with. But well, at the same time,
you might have to if you take, say you don't take a lineman in the first round. If there's starting to be a run, like, what are you going to do?
You got to trade up with a team that's not going
to
take one.
Yeah. Every time I do the mock drafts, I get to, like, you know, the second pick. And I usually know who I find a decent guy to take with that first pick and sixth. But you get to the last three picks, I don't really care anymore. I feel like I filled everything I want. Now I'm just grabbing guys just to grab them.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem if they trade a sixth or a fourth, or I mean, a fourth I don't want to trade, but like a fifth, sixth, something. Just
I'm not really.
Spielman's gonna move up and down. He always does. We do four or five trades every year, you know. So we might trade down in the first, add a couple picks, then move those to go back up. It's, you know, I'm not. I would prefer to, you know, for him to move around the board than to just take Eric McCoy at 18. Yeah. But I do like Eric McCoy.
Yeah, I do like McCoy, just not at 18.
I know we've already talked about
He had the fastest 40 of any interior lineman.
Well, not that 485?
489.
489.
He was good at everything besides the three cone. He was actually pretty bad at that.
Okay.
I know we've talked about him, and I know you guys like him, but they don't know it. I really like Gerald Willis, too, for a mid-round.
Oh, for third, fourth
three,
round.
Three-tech from Miami.
Three-tech Miami. He's just super inconsistent, but like, he's one of those guys that maybe you just give him Patterson and
Zimmer,
that you can get a little more consistency out of him.
Yeah, he reminds me of what's his name, Rennell Wren.
Yep, from another similar one. That whenever you do mocks and you don't get a three tech early, you grab Wren, you grab
Willis,
that and like Colin Saunders guy from like
Northern
small
Illinois,
school,
Western
yeah.
Illinois.
He looks like a monster, right, but then you got to realize he's playing against like, you know, accountants.
Yeah,
so it's
but the
a
thing
little
is
different.
The good thing with that though, if you get him later. Is he probably Kyle Rudolph's still going to be your starter, so it's like you got time to develop.
No, Saunders is the
DT.
Oh, who am I thinking?
You're thinking of the Colin Waring guy. That
yeah, there
guy.
You go.
But yeah, those defensive
Western
tackles.
Western Illinois.
But yeah, you know, once you start doing enough of those mocks, you kind of get the same guys in the mid and the later rounds.
Because you're looking for
and it kind of forces you to look up like the top four available. And then you get to kind of figure out which one of those guys are your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And for the three of us, it's Rennell Wren, Gerald Willis. I prefer them over other guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like there's, you know, some of them just don't fit with us. Either they're more 3-4 ends, or their noses, or they're, you know, there's like Daniel Wise and Kevin Gibbons and stuff. I just don't think they're as good.
I don't like Daniel Wise. I'm pretty sure I've said isn't he the guy I read up on? He gets knocked down a lot, it seems like. He gets knocked off his feet, it seems like, and I feel like if that's happening in college, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a problem.
I feel like you're going to go against...
And then there's the one that... those guys are more like third, fourth round for Stars 3 techs.
Yep.
Draymond Jones seems to be the one that if you sometimes he's available in the second.
He seems to be climbing up the boards. Like
Walter Football is in 15th overall.
Yeah, that's crazy. The guy is... I think PFF said he had the best pass rush grade of any DT.
He's an athletic
better than
freak.
Quinnen Williams. But his run defense is just trash.
So, like, he reminds me, like, I wonder if he's the guy who like, we all love, and he falls down the board because his run game is trash, or he might just be, like, a third down pass rushing specialist.
Yeah, which that could definitely happen, where he's just more of a Tom Johnson that comes in spells. But definitely someone to keep in mind, second round.
Which, is it the worst if he's
that? I would be totally okay with getting him in the second round.
Because you can work on his run game, and the thing is, are you worried about, look at the running backs in our division, the six games we play.
Why do we care about the run game when we, out of our three tag, when we got Lindvall, Barr, and Kendricks behind him.
Well, and you, maybe on first down, you put Shamar Stephen in there. Yeah. Maybe you put Jahlil Johnson in there, rotate him. And we don't know. Like, we can sit here and talk about players that we want. We don't know if Draymond Jones, Willis, Ren, like, if they're going to be good or not. I just want to find guys that, like, fit us and then hope, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I should have took Willis because I know he's better than Draymond Jones. I don't know shit.
These GMs don't know shit. Yeah. Do you have any, like, late round three techs that you really like that you think you can get, like, sixth, seventh round? Because I got two that I like.
Who do you?
That kind of fit it, and they're inconsistent, but they've got some, like, splash plays. And one of them is Dontavius Russell from Auburn.
Okay.
And he's a guy I think we can get in, like, the sixth or seventh round.
I have him down that he's more of a nose, though.
Really? I saw he was
3,919 pounds. It's a pretty big
guy. I had him at 308.
Well, I have combine weight.
Somewhere around. Oh, that was
combine weight? Dude's packing on some pounds.
Okay, so that's not good.
So, but maybe that is a guy, though, that you slim down and move. I mean, we moved, like, Jalen Holmes from end into
three tech.
You could move someone that's maybe he was used as a nose in college, but it's like, that's not where he should be. Let's, you know, have him drop 20 pounds and move over. Like, even they played Ed Oliver at nose most of the time.
DN.
Yeah.
They moved him all over.
That's why, like, a lot of people say, like, oh, he wasn't very productive. It's like, well, he's also absorbing double team blocks every play and playing nose a lot, where it's like, if you just stuck him at three tech only. Same thing with Rashawn Gary. Again, production was kind of not that great. He's playing end, and everyone says that his interior rush is better. So. Yeah. But, so, like, maybe that's someone that we could take sixth, seventh round, and it's like a lottery ticket, you know? Oh, okay, well, there's a reason he fell, because...
Yeah. In sixth, seventh round, they're always going to have inconsistency.
Yeah.
True. And Draymond Jones, just going back to him real quick, is he only, like, 280 pounds?
283? 285? 281.
There's why he sucks against the run.
Yeah, bulk him up.
Add 15, 20 pounds to him, and I'm sure he's just fine.
Yeah, he's the third on PFF. He's the third worst against the run. Oof. Jerry Tillery was worse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dontavius Russell, what it says here on mine, like, lacks the juice, twitch, and flexibility to consistently attack the edges of blockers for pass rushing.
Yeah. Well, lacks the juice, Ryan.
Lacks the juice.
But that's all right, bad. You know.
We're, not bad.
Hey, you know, what do you got? See, who's your other
one? Lamont Gaillard from Georgia. G-A-I-L.
Yeah, I don't even have him on here, so he must be a deep. He might not have went to the combine, because like all my guys are combine.
6th, 7th round guys.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, getting guys that nobody else really knows, you know? Like, just throwing some guys.
And he's a 3-tech?
He's a 3-tech.
Where's he from?
He is from Georgia.
Well, big school. Take a shot on him.
Yep.
This board I'm looking at is absolutely terrible.
Uh-huh. But, hey,
that's kind of like, I think that's like the main 3-techs. As far as, like, I think if you're going first round, it's Quinnen Williams, Christian Wilkins, Ed Oliver, Jerry Tillery, Rashawn Gary, Jeffrey Simmons, which is ridiculously loaded. Like, someone really good's going to be on the board.
Yeah.
Simmons might fall to the second just because of the ACL, and he also got in a fight. Like, that's on
I didn't hear the full story. What is going on with him with the legal stuff?
Legal stuff? He doesn't have any legal stuff. He just, back in high school, he got in a fight. It was on video of him hitting a girl.
Oh, yeah.
So he hasn't done anything in college, and it wasn't.
It's just someone trying to be a dick, like they did with what's his name, Tunsil.
Just bring it.
Well, right at draft time. His has been out for years. It is known about. Like, nope. It's just brought up because it's like, hey, don't forget. And then, yeah, Rashawn Gary's also the one that maybe he could fall to the second, but then maybe he could go top 10. Like, I don't know where to put the guy.
Yeah.
His combine is ridiculous.
Was he in the 95th percentile of everything?
Yeah, best 40 time. Well, no, I'm putting him at 3-tech, so it's a little unfair because he played a lot of DN, but best 40, best vert, best broad, best 3-cone, best 20-yard shuttle. So the only thing he wasn't that good at was bench, and he benched 26 times.
And he's the guy who needs to, if we play him at 3-tech, he'd need to add 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 277, so he definitely would have to add.
Maybe 20 pounds.
Yeah, add some weight.
But he's the guy who, it seems like everything's there, but he never performed,
showed it
on the field.
And part of that is, like we were saying, like, they may not have used him into his best, like, Danielle Hunter didn't perform.
Yeah. And so, he was recruited as a quarterback.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's like, you also got to factor that in. He's learning how to play defense. He really, like, it's all untapped. Mm-hmm. He's Danielle Hunter.
Have you seen his interviews and stuff?
No, I haven't.
So he's very, how would I put this? Like smart. Like,
intelligent.
But, like, he's got these glasses. He's just very quiet. Like, he just seems like a college kid, but not like a partier. Not like a... How do I...
He's got his shit together.
He's probably half... Like, we're going to get his degree. And, like, he's definitely not the... he's not cocky.
He's a student athlete, is basically what he's saying.
He's very, like, straight-laced.
He's like a guy, when you look at him, you're like, oh, this guy's just a student. He ain't going NFL or pro.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's does he not care? Because he doesn't seem like he has, like, a lot of fire. Or is he just, like, humble and he's smart and he's just... I don't know. It's a different type of personality than you see than, like, you know, a real cocky guy with a chip on his shoulder or, like... I don't know. It's very like
you don't get those kind of guys coming from a big school who are a potential top five pick.
It's a little weird to see.
Kind of reminds me of Von Miller now that we're talking.
That's a great comparison. Von Miller was like super like you know, he had the glasses too.
Yeah, and a lot of people kind of question like
does he really love football?
Does he love football?
Show off the field in your fire means nothing. It's what you do on the field.
Problem is he didn't really show much on the field too. So like Von Miller. Showed shit on the field, so like if you can turn it on.
And I think that's why we're starting to kind of see Gary fall in Knox because they're all kind of going, all right.
He's scary. Like I think he will be on the board, and it's like, what do you do there?
You know, I'm not going to be upset if we pass on him at that point, but I will be up out of my chair screaming if we take Rashawn Gary.
Yeah,
because like fills a need. He's a freak.
He's kind of like someone that I almost like wouldn't mind someone else just taking him in front of us, just so we don't have to worry about it. Same thing with DK Metcalf. Like, yes, he could be awesome, but he scares the hell out of me. I'd rather just someone take him in front of us so someone else falls and we don't have to deal with it.
We don't have to think about him. We passed on him.
Yeah, it's like
look what we did.
It's like someone else take him, please. So like you might get a great player, but I just don't want to risk it.
Somebody's gonna take him.
Yeah, he's going top 10.
So. I'd be surprised if he makes it past the Bills.
Where are they picking?
Like ninth?
Yeah, that would be surprising if he got past the Bills. So
they have like no wide receivers.
They got Cole Beasley, John Brown, I think DK Metcalf.
It's like all new guys.
Yeah, I think DK Metcalf.
Zay Jones.
Right in there.
Yeah, they need and 4.3 speed with that arm, but Josh Allen.
Yeah, why not? Size and speed. Now, so even if he throws it a little high, he can still get it.
I'm even seeing more and more mocks where Giants aren't taking a quarterback with their first pick.
God. They're just going to stick with Eli forever, huh?
That's disgusting.
To finish up the DTs, those are the first round guys. I think Draymond's kind of the one in the middle. Have you guys ever read up on this Kingsley Kiki? He's also a DN that they say could shift to 3-tech. Had a really good combine.
I've kind of strayed away from DNs. I do have a late round guy that I like, but like just...
For DNs?
Yeah,
so he played DN in college, but everything I read, they say shift him inside. Same thing with Rashawn Gary.
Where's he from?
I don't know. I
don't know if I can trust this big board I'm going up because I obviously didn't get to do the homework.
Isaiah Bugs.
They got him as like the bottom, but they also have Marquise Brown down at like 179.
Who are you pulling it from? What is it?
It's a draft network.
It looks like NFL draft network. Whose is that? Because it's I don't know, but look at this. I like that, man.
What would you
179 for Marquise Brown? Makes no sense.
Disgusting. People got different boards, different
Cody
tastes,
Thompson
different players.
From Toledo is in front of him.
Cody Thompson, I'm a ball player.
He's on my list as a late round guy that I like.
To finish the DTs though, Dexter Lawrence knows, but has some pass rush. Where would you, what round would you take him? If he was in the second, he's definitely
I'm taking him in the second.
Definitely.
He's a first round talent.
I was gonna say,
we just don't need him.
If we take him, that means that
he's the heir apparent to Linval.
We don't know how much Linval has left in the tank. Yeah. Because, you know, he was slowed at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really wouldn't hate it.
You can rotate him more.
I was just going
to
say.
The only difference is, the only thing is we did shine Shamar Stephen to kind of, like, do that role. So it would be a little bit like, there definitely would be a giant segment of our fans like, are you fucking kidding me? Why do you take a nose? But he's actually, like, for a nose, he's got some pass rush.
Him and, you know, Jalen Holmes or whoever it may be. Wouldn't be the worst thing on third downs and whatnot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just to keep everyone fresh. So, I don't think he'll be there. But
not when we pick in a second. No way.
But it's a hypothetical. If he makes it there, and there's no other obvious guy that fell,
he seems like a late for. He seems like a Patriots
pick. Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, that could definitely be it. So I don't know. You got anything more on DTs? I think we kind of hit them pretty good.
No, I want to grab
a 3-tech early. It's one of my main things.
How you don't with how many there are that are good in the first
round. And that's the thing. That and offensive line, you almost...
Yeah. I mean, it's also, it is a deep position too, like with the Wren and the Willis and Saunders. Like, you can get a guy second, third round. I think in the first three rounds, we're taking at least one, right?
You'd think.
Unless it just somehow doesn't fall correctly.
I wonder if we have, like, a mid-round guy that we, like,
are targeting. In love with. Yeah. We're going to be on the board at 18, and there's going to be a really good three tech. Yeah, you'll have, it's probably, it could be Rashawn Gary with some of the question marks. Could be Jeffrey Simmons with the ACL.
Could be Wilkins.
I think you pull the trigger on Wilkins. Ed Oliver, I think you pull the trigger on. The other one's Jerry Tillery, who's all pass rush. Suspect gets a run, but like, I don't, it's, it, for us to take a lineman over some of these guys is going to be like, oh shit.
I've pulled the reins a little bit on Jerry Tillery, especially at 18. Because, you know, as much as I love him as a pass rusher, he's one of those one-year wonder kind of guys.
He is a one-year wonder.
And now that you told me that his run grade was even worse than Draymond Jones's, that really makes me think that he was just kind of stronger and faster than the guys he was playing.
Well, he's Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. They don't have a conference. They're playing like
Harvard.
Independent, yeah.
Yeah.
They played
6'6", 295.
They beat Michigan. Very first game of the year.
Who didn't beat Michigan?
Gophers.
Michigan was in the playoffs going into the final week, and then they lost to Ohio State.
See, who didn't beat Michigan?
Yeah. Fuck Notre Dame. All right, let's jump to another position.
Do we want to stay on the defensive side of the ball and just hit linebackers real quick?
Yeah, we can hit linebackers.
Seeing as they're not a big of a need, we can talk some like...
Yeah, we can run through it pretty quick. Because, once we re-signed Barr, like we talked last week, Barr and Kendricks are now on five-year deals. So there's really no path for a rookie or anyone to ever get to play.
Late round.
You could maybe upgrade over Ben Gideon in depth.
And Gideon, wasn't he a fifth, sixth round pick?
Yep. Yeah.
So like that's kind of how much we think about that third linebacker spot, because we had a hole there when Gideon was drafted to be.
Yeah, and he started as a rookie.
Yeah. So that's what we think.
Can play those 20% of the snaps. Your job is to just cover a gap.
Like, yeah, cover a gap or eat a blocker.
The only problem is there was games where I was like, dude, fucking Ben Gideon sucks and is giving up too many plays.
All the time.
So I think maybe teams...
What game was that?
Was it like, Seahawks too? Were they going like an extra... Who was the team that kept going extra linemen on us?
I think it was the Seahawks.
Because that definitely means that Ben Gideon's out there, and it definitely means Ben Gideon's not good. Because he's not very good.
What does he play, like 30-35%
of the season? I don't care. That's a little too much.
So the top guys are Devin White, Devin Bush.
Yep.
Wilson in the price second somewhere.
Yeah. Yep. And we're not taking those guys anymore. I mean, if they're in the second, not, if Devin White or Devin Bush was available in the second round, I'd take them and just say, fuck it, and we'll figure it out. Mack Wilson, I would still wait.
See, Devin Bush is, they're both kind of the athletes. Like, they're fast enough where you can almost play them as like a big nickel. Like, if they have a big slot receiver, a bigger, slower like if we played the Cardinals and Fitzgerald.
Why not just put Mack Alexander on him? It's going to be better than putting Devin Bush on him. I think the reason you would take him is because it's just way too much value. And if Barr or Kendricks did get hurt, well, holy shit, we'll just put Devin Bush in, you know? Yeah. Did you see him run the cornerback drill?
He ran it better than a lot of D-backs.
Someone, who was it that said that it was like a...
Was that Reed?
Some D-back said he just ran this better than all the corners. I think it was Ed Reed. Yeah. Literally, it's like the back pedal and then like spinning your hips. Devin Bush just crushed it.
This is a year.
Oh, Jay Reed Draft Coach said it, but then someone he quoted was like an actual NFL player.
Was it Richard Sherman?
I don't know.
Sherman's active on Twitter. That's all.
Whoever it was, it was like, oh, okay.
All I know is right now, this is a good draft to be stocked at cornerback because it is awful.
Well, this draft finally fits us really perfectly. Good. We need a three tech, it's loaded. We need offensive line, it's loaded. We need
apparent to a Kyle tight Rudolph. End,
it loaded. And for burner receivers,
Hunter Renfrow's sitting there.
Well, he's a slot receiver.
Yeah. And he's definitely not a burner because he's white. So there's
Andy Isabella's white. He ran a 4.33.
Okay, that's right. You know, and he's on the list.
Okay, so Mack Wilson, he's kind of the second round, third round. So, I wouldn't take him there because we don't need a linebacker. No. But
in the fourth round, the Minnesota boys are to take him.
Yes.
Fourth round, I'm taking anyone. Best player available, fourth round.
Yeah, would you?
Absolutely.
I might take him in the third. I think Blake Cashman is good enough to go in the second. If he's there in the third, I think he's the same thing with like Devin Bush. The value's just there.
Yeah, I would like Mack Wilson, Blake Cashman, even like Voshon Joseph. If they were in the third, You're still upgrading a starting spot. Like, I know it's not really a starting spot, but like, I still think they would immediately be better than Ben Gideon.
And in your first three rounds, you want to get a starter. Like, yeah, that's kind of what you're shooting for.
Well, I don't like to think about this. I mean, it's obviously it would suck. It's not bad to have deep, good players. Like, look at right now. We're so deep at cornerback. It's like, oh, we're kind of in a cap situation. We can trade Trey Wayne to be comfortable.
Yeah, we would be fine. And or like week 17 when Rhodes is injured. Yeah.
And you're starting to hold the hill.
Mike Hughes has already torn his ACL. So like, if Barr were to get hurt, it's back to Eric Wilson.
And think about it this way. If we don't sign Holton Hill as an undrafted free agent, we only have four good corners.
Yep. Then yeah, who was starting week 17? It would have been Marcus Sherrills.
Yeah.
And we cool. saw how
or, that or actually, we went to convince Terrence Newman to retire. So it would have been Terrence Newman.
He was probably washed. I think he was washed. Anyone after? So Blake Cashman, I think we all like him. He blew up the combine.
I don't mind Tavon Coney. Don't mind.
I liked him, really liked him. And then I read something where it was he has terrible top. He's not very fast even at his top end speed. And he's very lethargic coming off blocks.
Yeah, I read that he's more of a two-down guy like Ben Gideon. Which, but then again, like if you can find a better Ben Gideon in like the sixth round, I'm fine with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't mind him for a late
round.
Yeah, but
you use the word lethargic, you lost me. Don't want
the him. Only other one that
I've never seen the word lethargic used in a draft and like somebody like doing a draft write-up.
That's a good word, though. That's a quality word.
Very, very good
word. I like the Bobby Okereke.
Yep, from Stanford.
We took him in our mock off season. He's the only other one that I think could like actually. Well, Jermaine Pratt also ran a 4.57, yep. Former safety. So two guys that could actually maybe play in the nickel defense if there was injuries to our starters. So those two are two guys that. After that, I think it's all.
Man, like, he's not mine.
Slower guys.
I was gonna read up on him, but he's
like,
not even on.
Terrell Hanks. Oh, they talked about. I think Jay Reed Draft Scout talked about him. Dude ran a 4.98.
That's too
I just don't think you can
me.
Play in the nickel in that. Which, again, if you take him in the sixth round as your depth Ben Gideon type dude, that's fine. But I don't want him in the third, fourth round.
Yep. Go ready.
Bobby Okereke, firstly, I'm reading here, struggles mightily as a tackler.
Well, yeah, he's more of a coverage guy from what I was reading. Again, I think you could teach tackling in our system. I think you could teach it. Like, I don't think Trey Waynes is a great tackler coming out of college, and all of a sudden he's like the best.
Wasn't that his knock against him?
Yeah, like not physical, kind of, you know.
Not of willing.
Literally the best.
He was a straight line speed. Like, if he gets burned, he's the guy who can catch up.
I think Zimmer can teach how to tackle. So I'd rather draft a guy that can run a 4.5, 4.6 that can't tackle than a guy that runs 4.98 and is great at tackling, because he's never going to be able to tackle anyone anyways because he can't even get near him. But that's probably all I got for linebackers.
I've got a kind of a mid-round guy, Joe Giles Harris from Duke.
Okay. What's his situation? I don't have him on my list here. I haven't deep-dived into linebackers yet.
I like him. I watched a little bit of him. I forget who they played in their bowl game last year. But I was watching that, and he was a guy who kind of – he flew around – He seemed to have a nose for a ball.
Okay. Nose for a ball.
Like, you know, shooting gaps and everything.
Smart.
Yeah, like he's smart. Yeah. Smart linebacker.
That's always the thing. It's like you got.
But I was reading about him, and it said that he doesn't trust his instincts.
Oh.
So, but I feel like that's something that you can fix, where it's like a coach just drilling it into you, like, when
read
you
your
see,
keys.
You see and react. Because that's kind of the linebacker position. Uh-huh. See and react. So
we haven't taken a lot of linebackers lately, huh?
I don't know. Like, these guys.
No. Devontae Downs, I guess, last year, but he didn't do anything.
This is Joe Giles Harris. These guys are talking really good. One of the best finishers in the 2019 draft.
This is the guy Ryan is
talking
about.
Yeah, great football intelligence. Like, there's not a lot of bad being said about like
right to here. Ryan Sleeper. He pulls them.
Coverage skills. This is one. Modest mobility through the hips, although play speed.
I'm a fluid hips kind of guy.
Ryan is always lethargic hips. Is that what I heard?
He doesn't possess elite bursts or
something. Well, and that's what you're going to get in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. Yeah. Like, you're either getting like the Ben Gideon type, or you're getting like some complete mess of a player that's really fast. So it's like you just take one of them.
But he was also a three-star recruit out of high school, so.
So he's worked his way up.
So he's learning.
Well, and he went to Duke, so he's got to be intelligent. Come on. Damn near an Ivy League school.
Should we? Do we? I don't know.
He didn't play lacrosse, did he?
Ready coming to that. You guys want to talk secondary? I don't really have much on
it. I don't have any secondary.
The only safety I like in the very late round, I pick him in almost every mock, is that Will Harris.
Okay. I just don't know who he is.
Okay, if we're going to take a D-back round one, I really like that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
We better not take a D-back round one. I think we do need a safety, though. Because if we don't have a... Not a start. I'm talking, like he said, fifth, sixth, seventh. Because Jayron Kearse seems to be big nickel.
Anthony Harris and
yeah, who's there's no Ayoka, there's no Sendejo, so... you would think you would need to take someone in case... I think if Harrison Smith got hurt, Jayron would fill that role. But if Anthony Harris got hurt, you got a problem.
Well, this guy...
Does Harrison Smith just slide over?
And then Jayron... And then you got kind of like two... Yeah, I think that's what you would have to do.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what this guy... He's a safety, not D-back.
What's a D-back?
Not a cornerback.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good in man coverage. I mean, he's not a hard hitter. Boston College. He didn't have the production on the field as his biggest knock against.
I like him. 6'2", 210.
That's nice.
He was also outshined by his counterpart. I can't remember the guy's name. He was a higher safety on this board.
All right. Well, let's go past Deontay, the secondary because guy's from Illinois.
Yeah. I got one DN late round DN. CC Jefferson. He's
got mine.
You both like him? Where's he from?
Florida.
Okay.
Played opposite of J.K. Polite.
Okay.
And, I don't know, he's another guy who's inconsistent, but he seems like he's kind of a freak athlete.
Like Danielle Hunter type?
You know, some people have him listed even as a linebacker, but he's more DM than anything.
I feel like they have him listed as linebacker. Like, some people are still calling him like an outside linebacker, where it's
like
he's
a
3-4. He's an edge
guy. Okay, yeah, an edge guy. Well, I wouldn't mind if I could just find a list of people similar to Danielle Hunter, all the athletic ability, but no
give
production.
Me their spark.
I want to see that, and then just be like, okay, because clearly we have a tendency to kind of draft athletes.
Yes,
like, we do that. The Vikings do that a lot. We're just drafting balls of clay and letting Zimmer and these guys work on them. So, but. Yeah, I don't have much on end because I haven't been looking at it. So let's go to...
Brailford, if you're in the seventh, is...
Who?
Brailford was the guy. He was the one who gets knocked on his ass a lot. But if you give me a beat,
sounds like a champ. Lethargic on his ass.
I was looking at one offensive lineman, and I was like, I would really like him when I was reading, and then they were talking about his balance and whatnot, and how he has a problem staying on his feet, and it's like... No.
I was reading about that. I can't think who it is, but yeah, I was reading about that.
You know what the biggest problem is? I'm getting a lot of because the Draft Network is really nailing it with their coverage and stuff, all their articles and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's if they're just wrong on someone, there's gonna be a ton of people that are like, oh, I heard this guy's bad on his feet, and then he's just not. And whoever wrote that scouting report was wrong. And it's way to go. You just misled tons of fans because you guys are
now he's a second round pick and people are bitching. Dude can't even walk.
Yeah. Who would they take him for? I'd love to see Pro Football Focus just pick a player and just lie about his grades. Kyler
Murray.
Yeah,
they did with Gallup.
They said he was their best receiver. But Michael Gallup was their best receiver, in their grading system, which doesn't mean they had him number one receiver, but it means he graded out the best. But I feel like they literally could move a guy's draft stock from seventh round to fourth by being in our system, he was the second best this and really good at this. Because how do you check that? You can't, an NFL team can't check it, but I bet they'd be they work with all NFL teams, every single one of them. So if they just decided hey, we're going to turn this guy from a seventh rounder to a third rounder by just saying he's a fucking awesome player.
He had a 75 grade, but let's give him a 95.
We'll just say he had 95 and say his run stop percentage was insane. I literally think they could move a guy up a draft board. Like some teams are just lazy. I don't know. It must be good. PFF likes him.
We've got their database, right?
Yeah. What's it say? 95? Let's take him.
Tough player on the board.
Jimmy what the fuck's the Cowboys owner name?
Jerry Jones.
He's just pull up the PFF draft board. We're going best player available.
sir, but Kyler Bailey's on the board. Kyler Murray's
was he
on
great?
The board.
Will Greer's better. Let's go. Will Greer. Well, a small school might affect that. It doesn't matter. We're taking him. Let's go to tight end.
That's where I was just going to say.
Love tight end.
Can we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break before offense.
Take a break before offense.
All right, let's all take a break. We'll be back in 40 minutes.
All right. All right, we're back.
We're back. You're right.
We're back. We yep, got, we're back. We just talked about defensive players. We're gonna go to some offensive guys.
Tight end, right?
Did you want to start with tight end?
Let's start with tight end. That's it's one I've really dove into.
Okay.
Big fan of it. Right on. Top of the draft. Both made our top 20. Actually, three guys made our top 20, didn't they? Did Irv Smith Jr. make it?
Yep, he was. Okay,
since moved him down a little bit.
Which one?
Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah, he's Alabama. Falling on a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't have him in my top 20 anymore. I think there's a clear tier: T.J. Hockenson, Noah Font.
Yep,
love both of them. You guys in on those two?
Oh yeah.
My opinion, though, is Hockenson my clear favorite. Like, it's a pretty big gap. I love Fant. I love both of them, but I really like Hockenson.
I think I prefer Fant.
Fant's combine is insane. Like 4-5.
Did you see that bubble? Did you see that bubble screen that Reed on Twitter, Jay Reed showed on Twitter? Oh, little bubble screen on like their own 30, and he ran it all the way down to like the opponent's 25 or whatever, and then finally got caught.
Jeez.
Just on a little bubble screen.
Well, he's 4-5 speed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's outrageous.
I think Hockenson
can't teach speed.
I think Hockenson's definitely safer, and he can do more. He's more versatile. He can block. He can help our run game.
He's your
How often do you see a guy like? I mean, it's very pretty rare when you see a guy come along in a draft, and it sounds like day one he's just
complete tight end. Yeah. But I think Font could be that Gronk as a receiver type, not the blocker type. But like you literally line him up, and it's like if he's on a safety, he's gonna beat him. If he's on a linebacker, he's gonna beat him.
Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
But the one thing that scares me about Font, remember last year. Trust me, he's on my fantasy team. I'm not very happy as the guy who tested absolutely off the charts at the combine.
I think the charts.
But the tape yeah. says it all.
I don't
think
Gesicki showed as well as
he did. He had a down year at Penn State. I think he only had 600 receiving yards. For a guy who was taking that's pretty low.
I mean, because someone like Bucky Hodges absolutely annihilated the combine. Yeah. But his tape was garbage. Noah Font has good tape.
He does.
So I'm not as scared of him. Irv Smith Jr. I feel like he's more of a second round guy now.
I'm starting to more. He's really good, but
I'm not taking him at 18, no matter how big of a need at tight end.
Because it's not.
I'd rather skip him in the second and just take Sternberger in the third.
I don't think Sternberger, you might not be able to get in the third unless you move around a little bit.
If I knew I was getting Sternberger in the third, I would pass on Irv Smith Jr. to win.
Yeah, if you knew you were getting him.
So, like, just a couple combine things. Irv Smith Jr. did a 110 broad jump. Noah Font did a 127.
Ooh.
And TJ Hockenson, 123. Top two are those two guys. Irv Smith Jr.'s three cone, 7.32. Noah Font, 6.81. Like,
half second.
Font is ridiculous.
That's in and out of breaks. And that split second in and out of breaks can make or break your out.
Yeah, he was best. Font was best in the 60-yard, the three cone, the broad, the vert, and the 40. But Hockenson was good in all of those. The only thing he didn't do great was the bench, which he had 17 reps, which was below average. So I if they're both on the board, I think I take Hockenson. I just think he's safer, but they're both awesome. I'd be ecstatic if we got them both.
If I ended up with either one of them, I ain't mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem taking Hockenson over Font just because – you know, he's so good at blocking that it's kind of like adding a sixth line.
And I kind of want our offense to be centered on Dalvin Cook and not Kirk Cousins.
I think that's what Zimmer wants too. Right. So I think Hockenson
is kind of a better fit.
I think Kirk Cousins has to.
I do too.
Cannot have it centered on him because we saw that in Washington. They tried doing that with them. And
DeFilippo tried to do it.
Jordan Reed, there's a good example for Noah Font.
That's a great example. Yeah. And when healthy, that guy was a complete game changer. So that's,
with Cousins as his quarterback.
And Cousins. Definitely like them. They have Noah Font's comp on here as Eric Ebron.
Okay.
And the comp for T.J. Hockenson is Travis Kelce.
Oh, okay.
Kelce, Ebron. I'll take Kelce, though. So who's your fourth guy? Is everyone kind of in agreement that the next tight end is Sternberger?
Yep.
For fourth? Guy's moving up, but it is Sternberger. One guy is at Warren.
I like him as my – I like him and Wilson's very close. Caleb Wilson ran a 4.56. And that Warren ran a 4.67. So both, because I'm looking for a certain tight end. I'm looking for a guy that can be a compliment to Rudolph and run and get open.
This is where I lost Caleb Wilson's. I did like him. He's been guilty of dropping some big passes.
And he does have a bad drop percentage, but that Warren has a worse drop percentage.
Does he?
Yep. Okay. So they're both a little suspect with the hands. Hockenson's a beast, the best in the draft, besides Drew Sample, who never dropped a ball. But yeah, Hockenson, great hands. Noah Font is a little suspect too, like Caleb Wilson. So just, but what do you, 4.75 40 for Sternberger? That good enough?
What was Nauta again?
Nauta was 4.91
Yeah, it was bad. Like I said, dropped him down.
Rudolph, I think when I was like a high 4.7s guy.
Yep.
And I think he's probably lost a little bit of that. So I think if like Hockenson's a 4.7, I think that's good enough.
Sternberger, I think, plays faster than
he does look like though. He plays faster.
So I mean, and you know, he may not have had a good like. I mean, how often is Sternberger running out of a track stance?
Well, you mean like his 40 stance where they do all that nonsense?
Yeah.
Well, like, I just want a guy that can threaten the seam.
And that's what I'm saying.
I think
like,
he can do that. I think 4.75 is fine to do that.
Yeah.
It's on the back end of it. You know, you're getting to a point where it's close to it. But with the way he catches the ball, I think he'd be fine there.
I want a guy like Rudolph but can run after the catch.
Well, right, yeah. And can like...
And maybe block a little bit.
Go further
so
than...
So you want TJ Hockenson?
Yeah. Someone further than 15 yards down the field. Like...
Yeah.
Rudolph's pretty much post corner, or he's running hook routes, or he's doing the bootleg. Like, yeah. There's kind of most of the time he's just finding the soft spot in the zone 5 yards from the corner.
He's honestly the only player I yell on our team that I yell at when he even gets a first down. Because I'm like, what are you doing, Ron? You could have made at least another 5 or 10
I love back. The play before the Hail Mary against Detroit where he caught like the crossing pattern and like all he had to do was just run straight and get tackled and call timeout and kick a field goal. And he tried to, like, I guess he thought he was athletic again and, like, went backwards and started running. Doesn't get out of bounds. Gets tackled. It worked out in the end because he then used his 6'6 fucking giant frame and massive hands.
Yeah, we were at Ben's just bitching about that.
Yeah,
that
like, what are you doing? So, yeah, those – I like the wearing. I don't know if you've watched him much, Ryan.
I've
watched a little bit.
He's – fucking huge. At least he looks huge on tape.
Like, yeah, he does.
6'5", 250.
San Diego State, I believe, which they run the ball every play. So another guy where it's like, has the measurables and the speed, but we have no idea if he can play. Yeah. So,
I feel like we'll probably knock him down unless somebody goes, you know, like looks at him and go, like sees his routes on tape. Somebody more in depth goes, okay, this guy's good. He just didn't have the productivity because they run 400 times a game.
Yeah, and we've taken shots on these guys repeatedly. Bucky Hodges, Michael Pruitt, like these guys that are like athletic unknowns. You know,
we don't know what the outcome's gonna be on. We got Conklin too. We took a shot at last year.
Yeah, and he's more of a he ran like a 4.8 something. Yeah. He's more of a possession guy. I like him. I actually think he's gonna be pretty decent.
Yeah.
He kind of just reminds me of like a worse blocking Morgan with a little more receiving. But not what I'm hoping we find in this draft.
So, Waring, too, highly competitive run blocker. The only thing is, he's going to get mismatched, but that's going to be a lot of tight ends. Like, he can handle every blocking assignment. Well, that's going to be a lot of them.
Well,
he had a really good combine, too. The one thing I would say is that he does have one of the worst drop percentages. So, his hands are an
suspect.
Issue. Suspect, yeah.
Which, yeah. I don't
like. That's a problem, if that's what you're going to call it. Any other... I think those are probably first through four round type guys. Is there anyone else you guys got like 4 through 7?
I kind of like Ollie's Mac.
Ollie's Mac. I have him decently up my list here. He's like a late fourth, early fifth, sixth type of guy.
Yep. Dawson Knox from Ole Miss.
Dawson Knox. Where is he on mine? Yeah, I also have him right above Ollie's Mac.
I haven't looked at many of the guys past the fourth because I'm always taking one usually at that point, like a Sternberger or that Waring or even Wilson.
Foster Morrow. LSU?
Like, he's right above Dawson Knox. I have all three of them. So they all, and they all ran 4.7 or better.
Yep.
Well, Knox didn't run the 40.
Yeah.
He had a good 20-yard dash, and he had a good 3-cone, so I'm assuming he's... And everything I read, they actually comped him to Kyle Rudolph. And a Kyle Rudolph coming out of college is the type of tight end I would want. So that's fine.
And how about a late round guy who I don't know, I've seen him kind of all over the place. Keenan Brown?
Keenan
Texas
Brown.
Texas State?
Yep. He's
big.
He's someone I see a lot of people liking. Like, late round guy that people are like, hey, don't look out for Keenan Brown.
Yeah, I like Keenan Brown.
Yeah. Ran a 4.75, terrible pretty much in all the drills. But if you could figure out how to...
I was watching one of his, like, full games, so it just, like, shows every offensive snap and everything like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I liked him. A lot of the times, you know, he looked like that. Like, he's kind of, like... not the greatest, not the most fluid route runner.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who seemed to catch everything. He had a nice, like, 28-yard touchdown where he, you know, just came across the field on a little crossing route, had like, 12 yards after the catch for a touchdown. It was
second best PFF grade among all tight ends was Keenan Brown.
Keenan Brown, Texas State.
Number one is Hockenson, second is Keenan Brown.
Okay.
And again, where does he play?
Texas State.
So, competition is always terrible. A thing that you have to look up with PFF because he's getting graded against lesser competition.
Yep.
It's like that Khalid Saunders DT. His grade's ridiculous, but it's like, yeah, you're playing against accountants. Yep. But it's, you know, there's a lot of good small school guys that turned to be really good. So,
only 6'2.5".
I thought he looks bigger on screen.
And I'm fine with a shorter tight end. We got the tall one. We got Rudolph to be the red zone guy. I want a guy that can run a crossing pattern, that can make a man miss, that can do a little something.
See, I'm kind of looking for a guy to think, okay, I don't feel like Rudolph's going to be back next year.
We're all dreaming of the prototype, or like, not the prototypical, the scientifical, like, tight end. You know, we want a 6'6". 245, really good at blocking, really good at going down
and
the seam.
His name's TJ Hockenson, and if we can't get him, then we got to pick someone else, you know?
Exactly.
If we cut Rudolph, I wanted us to do a lot to get Hockenson. He's one of my five
your guys
down that I feel like he's going to be good.
Well, that's the thing. His ceiling's really high, but then, like, also his, like, floor is, like, how is Kenny not be good? Like, that'd be really weird.
He's at least going to be a good blocker with sure hands.
I have this, like, color coded where it's like, if they're good at something, it's green, and bad, it's red. He's literally green all the way across the board, except for his bench was a little weak. That's it. But, like, no, there's no one else that's just green across the board. But yeah, like you were saying, Rudolph, you're almost even looking for Rudolph's replacement.
Yes.
Which I think they might do too, because I think the reason he hasn't restructured yet, because they only are going to restructure him if they have to restructure him. I think we talked about a little bit last week that, like, they don't want to dump guaranteed money in the next 2 years just to free up some space if, like, within a year they're like, hey, Rudolph's kind of at the end of his leg. Like, it'd be nice to just let him leave. No dead money, no nothing on the
cap.
It's
like a last resort
thing. Well,
we really need to restructure Rudolph, we'll do it.
Because we could have cut him with no dead money. And I feel
zero,
like,
dead money, yep.
I feel like if we were in works with Richardson where we could have gotten him at a decent
price.
They
might have done it,
I think we would have caught him. And then we're like, okay, we don't need to go get a 3-tech in the draft now. We can go get a tight end. Pretty deep at tight end.
Yeah,
we can replace him.
So, anyone else? Your boy Nada, you're done with him? 4.98 is too slow for you?
I mean,
4.91, I mean.
I like Nada, but I don't want to hear that stuff anymore. Yeah. So, like, I'm just going to not
Kane Smith also ran 4.92.
I never looked at him. Never realized Isaac Nada was a white dude.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a white guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, he wasn't the slowest. Definitely the 4.9 guys are...
not what we're looking
in there. Yeah, not really what we're looking for. We got enough slow tight ends. We got three of them.
Yep.
So, we want to move to...
let's do wide receivers before we talk about linemen. Because I've got...
Let's save linemen for the very end.
That's
our
biggest need,
obviously.
We'll hit
the quarterback, running back real quick with nonsense. But I didn't either. We just...
I don't
got sense, like you said.
I only got one quarterback that if he was there in the seventh, would be Finley. Like I've seen in some of the mocks I've done where he's still sitting there in the seventh.
Yeah, from the NC State.
I think if we don't sign someone, I think we will take like a fifth, sixth, seventh round guy.
Yep.
And I'm fine with slower back.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
No problem with that.
If Dwayne Haskins was there at 18, would you take him?
No.
You didn't ever like Dwayne Haskins, really, did you?
Not really.
I think unless it's Kyler Murray.
I think if you're my problem is if you're taking a first-round quarterback, I feel like you almost have to trade Cousins. Because I feel like...
and you can't.
If you're taking a first-round quarterback, it better be Kyler Murray or you shouldn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you take Kyler Murray,
you're
going to cause problems in locker rooms. Now Cousins knows he's out here after 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is what it is, though. Like,
it's his Washington situation
fucking Alex
all
Smith.
Over again.
Yep.
You're Washington all over again because he's like, well, I ain't staying here, so... Hmm. Just try and get my numbers up is the best I can do. So
it's never good. Yeah, and it's never going to happen. Murray's going
one,
and fucking Haskins will probably go top five. So, should we just get running back out of the way? Anyone you like at running back?
I like Devin Singletary, David Montgomery, just a couple guys throwing out there.
I really like Montgomery. But, again, I don't really want one in the second round, third round.
I want one in, like, the fourth.
I like
he's really
Rennie's
good.
Been taking Bryce Love a lot.
In the sixth, this guy was up for the Heisman last year. I get it. He had a down year. He doesn't show the best NFL ability. The guy's talent just doesn't disappear. I'm not wanting to be our next starter or anything. Bring him in to put him in the compliment. Just come in for certain stuff.
Now that we brought up Dulo back, I don't even know if they're going to take one.
You got Mike Boone, you got Abdullah, and you got...
Possibly Rock Thomas still.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just a silly drug charge, right? You said it was barely any weed, right? Barely. To you, that was a pittance.
It's a Monday night.
And I don't... We found...
I do this on Monday night.
And we found Mike Boone and Rock Thomas in undrafted free agent. Like, I don't know. And Abdullah can be, like I said, like a poor... Like, I don't even think Jarrett McKinnon was all that great. Like, Abdullah could recreate that role. Oh. I don't... It's not that hard.
I feel like more... Unless you're really in need for a starting running back in, like, the first... three or four rounds, a lot of guys are just going to find their backups in undrafted.
Yeah,
let's find them. Let's go find them. You can't find anything else there, but just people seem to hit good on undrafted running backs.
I guess the only worry is that Cook has really had problems staying healthy.
I like Mike Boone.
I kind of like Mike Boone, too, so I'm okay with waiting.
I like him because he's on my fantasy team.
Let's go to the receivers.
Okay. I didn't really... Actually, I had a couple later
rounds. I have two guys that I like in the first round. Brown and Metcalf.
I think everyone here agrees. Is that the only two? I would be completely okay if we took.
Like, Metcalf scares the crap out of me. If we took him, I'd be like, holy shit, let's go.
I don't
even
think, well, because I know he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
We're
Brown. Yeah. But I also,
it's one of those, like, kind of, to me, it would feel like we just drafted Randy Moss. Like,
we just added to his strength, and, like, this dude is, because, like, he really is. He's not really what I thought of in the beginning of the offseason. Like, okay, I want a fast guy, and I'm thinking, like, smaller Tyreek Hill type. But he's 4.3 speed. All he does is run straight lines. Like, can you imagine putting that monster just running straight while Diggs and Thielen run intermediate routes underneath?
Yeah.
Like, how are you stopping that? So.
Well, then he's not a bad route runner.
He just can't turn very well, like, agility-wise. But if he can run the five routes that he runs well.
Somebody had a good thread of DK Metcalf, really, they were just taking off all the knocks about him not being able to turn and not being a good route runner. Like, they're showing him doing, like, little back shoulder curls and breaking up the field and stuff like that. And, you know, shedding some tacklers, making the guy miss along the way. A little back step here.
It's just, I think you could do that with anyone, though. Like, find enough highlights. Like, he wasn't productive in college. He scares the hell out of me. It's all I would, like... I think there's some talent. There's definitely talent there. I don't.
Found that word again. Lethargic.
DK Metcalf.
Hakeem Butler.
Oh, Hakeem Butler.
Freddie Titan can be lethargic at the top.
Take him off your board, Ryan.
God, I really liked him too. He went from a second round to a third round on my board.
He's 6'6", 225. He was only a 2-star recruit.
Yeah.
How much did he grow in college?
He didn't.
Yeah, he.
The worst part about having notebooks is your pages fall.
Like, if you're a college coach and you're recruiting, you see a guy that's 6'6", well, I want this guy. I can teach him something.
He's got the worst hands.
Does he?
16% drop percentage.
So he's just up there because of his size and...
Maybe you hope you can teach him to catch. I mean, Metcalf's 10% drop percentage. Teach Marquise Brown isn't that great either. So, like, they all tend to drop balls.
Yeah, but I think... Hollywood makes up for that.
You know, I think
he's going to make some spectacular catches. Yeah. But then,
it's the same thing with Metcalf. You know, if he can, okay, you might have the occasional drop, kind of like Will Fuller. Like, they're still okay with Will Fuller. Yeah, he drops the ball occasionally, but he's also catching touchdowns like all the time. So, I think when people hear drop, they immediately think Troy Williamson because we drafted a guy that was all speed and just couldn't catch the ball for shit. He was a special person.
You're not going to get
special kind
people
of
also need to realize you're not going to get a DeAndre Hopkins every time.
Yeah,
well, that's, like zero drops last year, which was ridiculous.
Well, Stephon Diggs never dropped a pass. Kyle Rudolph didn't drop a pass.
That combine at Metcalf is pretty ridiculous though. 4-3-3 with 27 reps on the bench
with a 39-inch vertical,
40.5-inch vertical.
I mean, if he's
134
there.
Broad jump.
If he's there, it's hard not to take him, but I just can't imagine any scenario.
He's the kind of guy that I would just prefer someone take him ahead of us.
Yep.
We don't deal with it, and it drops another player towards us. So, Hollywood Brown, I love him. I just think he looks like Tyreek Hill.
He was my favorite wide receiver, though.
Cool. So, you want somebody who's going to break his child's arm?
Cool. Okay. Well,
I feel like more he's going to be a little big chest at some point, but.
Well, I mean, that is his cousin.
Exactly.
Who is your guys' third favorite receiver?
Paris Campbell.
Third? I got Paris Campbell, too.
Who's your second?
DK Metcalf.
Oh, yeah, Metcalf.
Paris Campbell.
But it's close between him and like, I don't really count A.J. Brown because he's not the kind of receiver
I'm doing all this, like, from a Vikings perspective. Yeah. A.J. Brown might be up there. He's not what we need.
No, big slot guy. Somebody said we needed to create, like, their own position. Like, keep slot receivers separate from, like, big slot guys. I'm like, shut up. They play the slot. Yeah. Whatever.
It's
like size doesn't matter. You just.
I disagree with you guys. I feel like we need a straight line speed. I feel like we have two really good wide receivers. I'd rather burn it downfield where
we don't need a slot receiver. Like I thought about taking a slot receiver, wanting a slot receiver.
I think we have them because we constantly put Diggs and Thielen in the slot where they don't get bumped. Also, I think Chad Beebe's a pretty decent slot receiver. If you're looking for the cliche New England Patriot white slot receiver, Chad Beebe's I think can do that job.
Yep.
So
true,
and that's why.
And we had him last year. We used him a little bit at the end.
Then he got hurt.
And it didn't. The slot receiver doesn't do anything for our offense.
I'd rather be able to play.
It doesn't improve.
Yeah, because
that's what I'm saying.
Diggs and Thielen are at their best when one of them's in the slot because they can run all kinds of routes and they can't be bumped most of the time there. So,
and that's why I like. So without straight line speed, I like Riley Ridley.
Riley Ridley, not
without
a fan.
Without the straight line speed.
I like
him. Not a fan at all, Dan.
He's all right. I think he's just too similar to what we have with Diggs and Thielen.
No.
But if you think he's good, then I don't want to bump guys that aren't burners all the way down. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what's hard.
Andy Isabel is on there.
Yeah, I love him. He's short, 5'9", 188, but...
He's a burner.
Yeah, he's a burner.
And he's not a slot receiver.
He can play the slot, but
yeah,
but
they say just because he's 5'9" and white,
he had the number one PFF grade, so he's the Michael.
He had like three guys that can play the slot, so we can just switch shit up all the time.
Yeah,
and well, Andy Isabella had like 80 catches in November, like by November.
Yeah, he's small school though, right?
UMass.
Yeah, so I think I go Paris Campbell, Andy Isabella. I know you didn't like him, but Emmanuel Hall, he 4.39.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
43.5 inch vert. He's 6'2 to start with, so he's not tiny like Andy Isabella. 141 broad. These are all bests in the whole class. So we had the best broad, best vert, best 40, but 4.39s. Very quick. He does drop the ball some. Yeah, he did not do any cone drills, though, so we don't know his change of direction. But over 20 yards a catch. He only had 38 catches last year. I think he was West Virginia?
Missouri.
Is that a school that doesn't run the ball a lot? I don't know.
No, they run a spread offense.
So he's just a one-trick pony. But that trick is what we need. Yep. So
we have two top-end wide receivers. We don't need to find the next top 15 wide.
Well, that's what I mean. Third round, and he does one. The one thing that could open up the offense a little bit is run really fast straight.
And I guess if he's burning the guys, like when I said, you know, he drops a lot of passes, they were more or less contested catches,
which they said, because he double catches it, he bobbles sometimes, mm-hmm. but the hope is that he's past the DB and he's just over the shoulder.
Just hold on to it.
Yeah,
it may not be the prettiest thing, but he's gonna get you in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean he's similar to an Andy Isabella, Paris Campbell. I do think Paris Campbell is more well rounded than both those guys.
Yep,
he's a guy I would not mind trading out of the 18 spot and moving down to the end of the first,
and taking Campbell.
Yes,
yeah,
I would not mind that. I don't want to take him at 18, though. I think that's
no. If we take a receiver, not.
But he's also another guy. I don't see him being there.
Exactly.
You know what I've been thinking about?
I don't think any of these guys will be our pick. Maybe Emmanuel Hall.
If the Texans loved somebody and they knew it wasn't of a a cornerback or something, and they traded us one of their seconds to move up into the first, if we had, and then we just shipped off a later round pick. So that we could have three picks in the top 60.
That, I think that would actually work better for us for what we need. Unless there's some monster guy on the board.
Jonah Williams.
Yeah, if it's okay, these are all kind of similar. Let's move back and get two linemen and a three-tacker. A receiver, a three-tacker.
I think it's going to be hard that one of the guys that even fill our need is not going to be there at 18. I find it hard that he's going to trade out of it. You're going to have a Cody Ford, Wilkins, or someone there that we're going to want to take.
That's the thing, a lot of the guys we have on our list, they're all first round talents and they're all really good. It's how could you pass up if he's here?
Uh-huh. Other receivers, Deebo Samuel. You guys,
I like Deebo.
I take him in my mocks most of the time.
Yeah, I like him a lot too. I worry that maybe he's a little more slot than he is outside, but I think he's got the speed anyways. I mean, he's 4.48. I mean, it's not quite the 4.3 that those other four guys are, but still pretty good.
So if you don't end up with straight line speed, if we're going to take a wide receiver, I just want to end up with a really good receiver. Yeah. Just have a third or fourth.
And we're just going to end up with a good receiver. I like David Sills, the fifth out of West Virginia.
Heard of him. Don't know much about him.
If we're just going to go receiver, I think he was a converted quarterback or something silly, or transferred from a different school. And last year, not this past college season, but the year before that, he had a really big year. He had like 70 catches for like 1,300 yards.
He was hotly recruited quarterback prospect in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not saying this is a comparison to who he is. Edelman was a quarterback in college, and look at him now. Super Bowl MVP.
Obviously, there's guys like N'Keal Harry, A.J. Brown, Hakeem Butler.
I like N'Keal Harry. I mean, he kind of fits up there. He's probably like my number three receiver on my board, like entirely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you probably won't take him at 18 because he won't be there in second. I don't want to take him at 18.
No, I don't want to take him at 18 either. If it's not those top two, I don't want to take him at 18.
If we're taking a receiver at 18, I want him to be a burner.
Yeah, well, I want it to be Brown or Metcalf.
Yeah, true.
Anyone else, like, mid-rounds? That Miles Boykin, I don't know if you guys have seen him, 6'4", 220, and destroyed the combine. He tied Emmanuel Hall for vert, 140 broad jump, really good cone drills. A lot of people are comparing him to Galladay.
Okay.
Like, kind of a raw, tall, really athletic.
Where is he from?
I think he's from Notre Dame.
Who's that?
Look him up, yeah. It's Miles Boykin.
Miles Boykin, huh? I don't know why I've got Greg Dortch on my list. He's a slot guy.
Greg Dortch.
Notre Dame.
Really good, doesn't drop the ball.
Yep.
That's all I have on him.
Yep. I had him on my list, Dortch, because I think he looked fast, but he's more like quick than fast.
Yeah, like a Chad Beebe or something. Yeah. Like, what do you guys think of Kelvin Harmon? I see some people have him as their number one receiver.
Yeah.
He is all over the board.
All over the place. And I don't know how I feel based on that.
I don't think he fits what we need. He seems more like the complete number two receiver. Like everyone, people compare to like Mohamed Sanu. Like, not going to be your number one, but oh, he's going to be. Those guys I never like. Like, no. This guy's, he doesn't have the upside of like a number one, but like, oh, he'll be the perfect complimentary piece. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't want that guy.
And see, the problem with that is, why do you want that guy in the first? Like, if you had him as, like, some people as number one, that if you have him as your number one wide receiver, say in first round
time. I think that but when people have him ranked as their first, it's like, this is going to be the safest wide receiver.
Just going to say that. That's like I want the sure thing rather than going for the
bucks.
Give me the double instead of going for the home run with Metcalf, you know? Yep. But fuck that double. Anyone else on, I thought Mecole Hardman from Georgia, 4-3-3.
Oh, yeah.
I might have said that wrong.
No, yep.
Really kicker turner type. I had him on the list before we re-signed Abdullah, but he's got kick return ability, and I think I had one other guy with kick return ability.
What?
Penny Hart kick return ability. So okay. Just a couple random.
Do you have a little Jordan Humphrey on there at all? What was his 40 time?
Little Jordan Humphrey, 4.75. So he bombed it.
Ooh.
He's the slowest in the class.
Ooh.
So he won't.
So he's a tight end.
He won't get drafted.
So he's a tight end.
He's like the Holyfield of the wide receivers.
Yeah. let's move to line and wrap this up because we are going long. Do we want to talk all line as a whole or tackle guard?
All line as a whole.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll say whether they're a tackle or guard.
Yeah. I have 7 guys from offensive line I'd be okay with in the first round. The 3 tackles: Williams, Taylor, Dillard.
Yep.
And the guards I have is Bradbury, Lindstrom, Jenkins, Reisner.
Okay.
Cody Ford I've moved down because I really don't like how he did not move well at the combine. Like, I looked at his time. I thought he looked good when we watched it. And I still think he's probably good, but his 3-cone and 20-yard shuttle were really bad.
Okay.
Which I was looking at, like, so I looked up Josh Klein's, I looked up Easton's, I looked up Brian O'Neill's and Elfline's, and they're all really good. So I just feel like we're going for a certain type of lineman. So I just moved him down because Jenkins, Lindstrom, Reisner, Bradbury destroyed all those drills.
Okay.
Really good at
it. How do you like Lindstrom?
I wasn't big on him.
Yeah,
I wasn't. And then I saw his piece. A lot of like Viking fans really love him. And then, yeah, I saw his combine times, and they're actually some of the best as far as, like, agility.
Yeah.
And I just want a guy that fits zone.
Like, yeah,
I
want those agility scores come in.
And Eric McCoy had a really good 20-yard shuttle, but his 3-cone was a little poor.
You know who's...
But he's also zone. Jenkins, everyone says, is more of a manpower guy, but he moved well, so
yeah.
I'm fine with him.
You know who absolutely dropped off? Greg Little went from being a top 20 pick, and now they have him like 107 overall.
He is another one that's similar to... who the hell was it? Like Kelvin Harmon? That's like some people have him as like top 15 guy, and some have him second round guy.
Yeah.
I think we would like him because, he's pretty athletic, but... Actually, he was really slow and had a terrible vert, so maybe not.
I'm wondering if, did Oklahoma have their off-topic quick, real quick? Did Oklahoma already have their pro day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, because...
I like the Oklahoma lineman.
Yeah, I do too. Who was it? Some team was spending a bunch of time with Oklahoma's offensive lineman, and they pick in front of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the only one that's going to go in the first is Cody Ford.
Yeah, but it was just like a team that...
I guess they pick in front of us every round, too.
I wasn't expecting them to like be in on offensive linemen, but then they're,
Powers has been jumping a little bit.
Who?
I got Ben
Powers. Is he also an Oklahoma guy?
Yep.
He's been jumping a little bit.
Yeah, I've got Ben Powers and the other guard, Drew Samia.
Is he... So there's four guys from their school that are
there? Yeah. And
they're all tackle. Zone. Everyone I read about them, they're zone. Because Bobby Evans I really like, too.
Bobby Evans. Yeah, no, everyone except their center is going into the draft.
And, yeah, they all measured, pretty athletic. They all graded out.
The Oklahoma line's pretty good. I like them. Is it David Edwards?
Tackle?
Wisconsin? From Wisconsin? Is he a scheme fit? Because I kind of like him.
Where is he on my list here? Yeah, he's not bad. Definitely not like the most athletic, but as a tackle, I think he'd be fine. I think he's like third round. Maybe we take him at the end of the second where we are. Because our second's not, we're more towards the back than we are the front. So like if we took a guy like this, I get it. Because you're not going to get him
in the third.
So
it's like you may have reached, but.
Yeah. Whatever. I think I like Bobby Evans and even Mitch Hyatt, the guy you had, David Edwards. Yeah. But I would be totally fine with David Edwards.
I like him if he can drop to the fourth. Is that Yanni Kajust or third?
Yeah, Yanni Kajust. I think he's going in the second.
He's another guy like Greg Little all over the board.
Is, and that's what I'm saying. If he's there in the third, I would be all for grabbing him.
Have you guys heard much about Caleb McCrary? Yep. He's a tackle, but a lot of people think he can move to guard. Super athletic. So if he found him in the third, fourth, and moved him to guard, you could probably start him right away.
Yep, I've got a couple. I got three guys left that I've written down. They're all a later round guys. One is Nate Davis from Charlotte.
Is he a guard?
He's a tackle
that can convert.
Yeah, I think he played both at Charlotte.
Yeah, I have him in fourth round, fifth round area.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like he's a zone fit. But at his size of 6'3", 306, I'm not sure how well he moves, but I feel
he was slightly below average.
Okay, well, then that might knock him down, but I don't know. I liked what I saw, and so I jotted him down, put him right down. And I wrote that he wasn't a scheme fit. So
you said you don't like him in the second, which I do agree
Who?
With.
Dieter.
I like him because he's played guard and tackle.
And
it sounds like he did good.
I think he can even play some center.
Yes.
He's just another guy that's below average athletically. So like I've just sort of moved them down because I've just looked at all the guys we've had and they're
athletic.
So would you like him in the third?
Third, fourth area, yeah.
Yeah.
There's other guys I like more that I think are available in the third and fourth. So like even Nate Davis I have higher.
Oh. So as long as we don't take PA's guy, I'll be happy that Connor McGovern.
They said he's not really he's more of an inside zone, which I think is still fine. You're still doing zone movements, but they compared him to Roger Saffold, Draft Network did.
Okay.
Decent scores at the combine.
Yeah.
All above average.
Yeah, he made late round favorites.
Well, at one point he was a late first.
Who was?
McGovern.
Oh, really? So, I don't have a problem with him. That Max Sharping always seems to be available.
Yep,
and I was sort of like, I don't like him because I think Draft Network pegged him as a power guard or power tackle. All above average athletically.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny when you see like Draft Network say, oh, he's a power tackler. I'm like, I don't like him. He doesn't fit us. But then if they move well, then how are they? I think you could just move in his own. Yep. I think part of it might be like they played in a power scheme.
I'm sure Brian O'Neill didn't play his own scheme.
Right. But when he runs around like a tight end, offense. It's like, oh, okay. Sharpie I like.
I really want a guy nicknamed the Teabagger.
Who's that?
That was, what's his name? The Colts.
Quentin Nelson?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
his impressive. Teammates called him the Teabagger because he was, back he was always like, right by the time it was all done, he was the Teabagger.
Yeah, well, you know what, Rennie? You're going to have to wait another 15 years to get
I know.
Teabagger. Yeah. Dude, what about that Trey Pimpkins? You guys heard of him?
Yeah.
Local guy?
He's
a tackle, yeah. He's out of some tiny school. I forget what it was.
I don't know, he
also measured really good.
Sioux Falls.
Yeah, only did 16 reps.
No analyst report found for Draft Network.
Everything else really good, though.
His vert was 33. How often are you benching a D end?
In his own scheme.
Yeah.
It's more about angles in his own scheme.
Yeah, it's more about cutting off your blocker.
His vert was 33.5, tied for best in the class. So it's, I don't know, he's a strange dude.
I've got a late round favorite, last person on my list, Garrett Brumfield.
Garrett Brumfield, is he a guard or a tackle?
Guard, LSU.
Oh, well, that's why, right? LSU product?
Actually, wasn't even like looking for that. All of a sudden, I saw his name pop up, read him, great zone fit.
Right, right. Yeah.
Boom.
You know what's good, though, is from like going through all these players, like a lot of zone fits because a lot of teams are running spread where it's like we don't need big. Less people are just running the ball 30 times a game where you want those maulers, double team blocking or power. And everyone needs light guys. They're running bubble screens and stuff all day. So it's just a lot of guys fit our scheme. Like there's not a ton of guys that are just pure man blockers. So
yeah, I mean, which almost wouldn't surprise me if we grab other positions the first three rounds and like 4, 5, 6, it's athletic lineman.
I could see us grabbing like one in the first three rounds and then like the last three picks are just like more linemen, just taking flyers.
I can live with that. Explosive out of his stance as a zone blocker. Keeps
this Brumfield?
Yep.
Is this Draft Network?
Yep.
It's the only problem with Steve. We're all just reading the same content.
I did not read that on Draft
Network. Oh, you didn't? No. Ryan's got a secret spot. He's reading stuff?
Well, here's the problem. I started with Fanspeak. Done with them. When I saw Josh Jacobs go in one of my mock drafts with the Giants at 6 overall, I'm like, yep, you're done.
Fanspeak, the problem is I don't think they update their stuff enough. So, like, as soon as, like, Blake Cashman had a good combine, Draft Network immediately moved him, like, second, third round.
Yeah.
You can still get him in, like, the 6th on Fanspeak. Well, the ones
they do update are the just terrible mocks. Like, that, like, Fanspeak Steve.
Yeah.
He's always got Josh Jacobs going 6. I'm like, they have Barkley. What are they trying to pull here? I mean, don't get me wrong. I would not put it past Gettleman. The guy's just horrible at his job.
Is he the dude that took Stewart and D'Angelo Williams?
Yeah.
D'Angelo Williams hates him.
That's amazing.
Hates him.
Who, we were talking Brumfield.
Oh, where you read that from?
No, there was something else.
It's on the tip of your tongue and now you've lost it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind either.
It was good content.
Too. In the mids, I wouldn't mind either of the Wisconsin guards. Even if they're not testing the guards. I mean, they're coming from one of the best offensive lines in college. And I feel like it's hard to, even what they're missing out on, to teach them. We got a good offensive line coach now.
Yeah. I mean, just get, I think we're looking for lies in the mid rounds anyways. I think that's what Dennison wants to do, you know.
I feel like maybe one early. I mean, I don't want to go, everyone wants first, second round. I don't
want
to do that.
Yeah, I want one in the first three rounds. I mean, I guess one in the first two. It'd be pretty crazy.
I wouldn't mind two in the first four.
Yeah, I don't mind.
But either. I don't want round one and round two.
Some people just want.
I wouldn't mind round one, round two. Is it sexy? No. But if it ends up like, what if it's two guys that we like?
That's the thing. It's got to be, if we end up doing that, I really want it to be like, okay, we got Jawan Taylor and
Elshon Jenkins
or Eric McCoy or like Dalton Reisner somehow falls to this. Like, two guys that, like,
we're familiar
and
with.
And feel very much like, wow, I can't believe he's still there, you know?
I just feel like Spielman's going to pull. I'm really hoping he does, and I feel like he could because he does it a lot. Is he's going to take, like, a guy like Wilkins in the first and trade up and go grab a guy like McCoy in the early second, like we did?
I mean, like, when we did with, we traded up for Harrison Smith, we traded up for Teddy Bridgewater.
Move your second and then you move down in the third, maybe into the fourth.
Well, last year we traded our third into the fourth. That's where we took Jalen Holmes. Like, you can just recoup that pick and all of a sudden you're
fine. You can trade comp picks, right?
Yep, you can now trade comp picks.
So there you go. We have all these comp picks coming in. Mm-hmm. It's, why not?
Yeah, no, it's, that's what I like about Spielman. He manipulates the board.
Mm-hmm. I think our favorite.
I think that's underrated by the casual fan base underrates his manipulation.
Well, and it's crazy. You look at some teams; they trade like once in the last 6 years, and they wait for their turn. They pick a guy. They wait their turn. They pick a guy. It's like
they wait for the board to come to them.
But it's like you might be taking a guy like way early because you're like, well, we like this guy. Where Spielman might go, I think I can get this guy 15 picks later. I'm going to trade back and grab another pick.
Or you're the Browns and you just keep trading back to acquire picks and never spend them on anyone good until now.
I think the two favorite things that could happen is that we either trade back in the first and get more picks, or we trade up in the second to get another good player.
There's a lot of guys
right in that area.
But like how many?
20 to 40 more picks, that are like, damn it, we need.
We're getting more picks. I wouldn't mind more picks for next year. Not so much this year.
It's fun.
I feel like our needs are similar. Like you've said, it's picks. A lot of luxury this year, not as much need.
You only got 2 years of Cousins, though.
Yeah, no, I want this year's picks. I want
three linemen, a three tack, a tight end, a receiver.
I want to walk out of the draft with 11 picks.
What do we have right now?
Eight.
Spielman usually likes 10. That's his goal usually, is to get 10 picks.
Well, we have more than eight because we haven't called him the comp picks yet.
But we traded two other picks.
I thought that was with comp picks.
Yeah, I think we started with seven. We traded two away, and we got three comps.
So those two, the extra six and extra sevens were comp?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And we don't have a fifth. Eight.
No.
We do not have a fifth.
Yep.
What did we trade that for?
I don't know.
Did we trade in last year's draft?
I don't know. I know. I think Brett Jones is one of the picks that's gone.
Seven.
I think a seventh, and we got one back for a comp. I don't know.
So you know what's one thing really bugged me? Nobody was around me. I was doing a volleyball tournament during the draft. I think it would have been 2 years ago. I think he was taken in the fourth round, but I really wanted him, but now the guy's just an absolute stud. It was Desmond freaking King.
Desmond King.
He was sitting
over the corner for the Chargers.
I was sitting there watching. I'm like, why is this guy? Everyone's grading this guy.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. He was definitely someone that I'd heard of, and he was on in the fourth round. So it's like, why is Desmond King still available? Huh, that's weird. And then it's like, well, he must suck. Everyone must be wrong. And then, no, he's really good. So it's like, damn it, we should have took him.
Like, they're just letting – well, Verrett doesn't matter because he's never plays. I mean, he's really good, but never plays.
Always hurt. But anyone else have any guys that they want to talk about?
I got nothing. Right. I think that about wraps it up. We'll probably maybe touch on it. It's mostly going to be draft talk from here on out.
Yep.
So what do we got? How many more weeks?
Sure, I'll hop in on the Vegas show.
Five weeks?
Yeah, a month and a week or so. Yeah, so.
Yeah, something like that. So a couple more episodes maybe.
No,
maybe,
I think we'll do a live mock draft at some point where run through a 7-round mock.
Might skip a week if it's really slow.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe we can rewatch the 2009 championship game and then talk about it. You know, it could be fun. I was listening to The Ringer does like rewatchables, and they did one on the 49ers Seahawks some championship game from some years ago, but it sounded very interesting. And I was like, I'd like to do that on a Viking game where probably a heartbreaking one, because like we don't really have, I don't know, what are you gonna talk about, the miracle game? I don't know.
I'd rather. And that's too fresh. That's too fresh.
It is. You got to go back at least a little bit.
Oh, we could do the Brett Favre Niners game.
Oh, that was
at some point.
One of the most beautiful passes I've ever seen.
The only problem is, like, I feel like that game was somewhat, like, boring until the very end. Similar to, like, the Teddy Blair
Washington. I think that game was a game where we were up and they came back and took the lead.
I think it wasn't, like, when you think of the 2009 championship game. There is going to be, that's just loaded with stuff to talk about. Whereas, like, because I was even thinking about Blair Walsh miss. But that game was so low scoring and so boring.
That's something just the two of us can watch.
Yeah, well,
all I know is
Teddy.
I'll fall to my knees behind your couch, you guys.
There's something about watching Mike Singletary's like bulldog face is so upset. That guy just bugs me.
And then that receiver, that's just like, what just happened? Did Brett Favre just throw a touchdown? It's pretty impressive that Paul Allen knew that was Greg Lewis and was like, it's Greg Lewis touch. Like,
I remember Greg Lewis. We're at the Haneys, and me and the Haneys were like jumping, and all of a sudden everyone in the room just stops and almost simultaneously go, who the fuck is Greg Lewis?
It's like his first week of the season.
And then just started cheering again. We're like, oh man, because that was, our good year. Should have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's why we're going to rewatch the game and talk about it.
Right on. So yeah, we'll catch you guys next week, and we'll have something for you.
Appreciate the invite, boys. Have a good one.
Yep, see ya.